welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. Dave's got a list ready. Pat O'Brien's going to be on the show. I think Ozzy's doing a fashion roundup, but got to work it out. All right. Well, where to start? Lots of Oscar news. First off, hello, Rachel Perry.
Hey, I went to go see Bon Jovi on Friday. It was very awesome.
You saw Jovi?
I saw the Jovi.
Against your will?
No. It was awesome. Right. I sang the entire time. If I know that they're heading up to Seattle and Portland over the next few days, and so if anybody up there is going to see them, you will enjoy a rockin' Jovi-tastic experience.
Jovi is Bon Jovi's one of those sort of bands where I wouldn't, if somebody got into my car and saw a Bon Jovi CD sliding around the passenger seat, I would quickly throw a t-shirt over it or something. But if you wanted to drag me to a concert, I could definitely get into it, I think.
I was a little bit worried, though, about there being some sort of gang violence or something. I mean,
the Jovi crowd, yeah.
There was
it's a tough crowd.
It was funny because I looked around, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of white people. It was just all white people.
Jovi, the Bloods support Jovi, and then the Crips are into Winger. And sometimes they cross-pollinate, and you'll see some of the Crip crowd over at the Jovi concert, and some of the Bloods will be at the Winger concert. But yeah, I've seen all hell break loose at a few of those concerts. And you don't wear any red or blue, did you?
No,
smart.
I had to be careful. Smart. You know, I realize why white people love Bon Jovi so much and like going to Bon Jovi concerts is because it's the closest they're ever going to get to going to, like, a black gospel church. That's the experience that you get from going to Bon Jovi. It's like everybody's raising their hands in the air.
Oh, well, but minus the blacks.
Well, yeah, minus
right,
the blacks.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Because there's no black people there. It is nice. It is a nice little social experiment, you know. Hey, what would it be like if all society was white? Well, people drinking beer and on each other's shoulders, holding Bics up over their heads. So what a utopia. So I talked to somebody else who went to that on Friday night. I'm trying to think of what the number one I got dragged to at concert band is. Bon Jovi could be up there. If you think about it, nobody says I got dragged to a Radiohead concert. They're like, I scored tickets to Radiohead, and I totally buffed out my buddy by throwing a couple tickets his way. We went to the Radiohead concert. But when you talk to people about Bon Jovi, they're like, yes, somebody invited me to a... I just went. I didn't know where we were going, actually. We just got in the car, and then it was good. You know, they have to do that, but they can't just go, I went out and waited in line volitionally and bought the Bon Jovi tickets. Yeah. I wonder what the number one band that people won't admit they went out and got the tickets to, but that they enjoyed anyway. Could be Bon Jovi.
Maybe.
At the bottom, like I said, it's not, you know, it's definitely not Radiohead and a handful of the other sort of, you know, cool bands. It's not Mighty Mouse. It's not Dave's music.
Mighty Mouse.
Modest Mouse.
Modest Mouse.
Speaking of drag to, I was dragged to by my old lady on Saturday night on a double date. I don't like double dates. I'm against them as a rule.
Well, you don't like seeing people on the weekend.
True. Or in general. But
right.
I'll say this. Here's the thing with the double date. Here's why I'm not a fan of it. Perfectly nice people we went out with, you know. That's not the issue. It's the numbers that you wind up with a double date. See, the two women start to talk to each other, or they start to, and then you're left to talk. You only have one person to speak to.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to talk to.
Who was the guy you had to talk to?
My chum, David Feeney. I like him. He's a delight. You know, he's a very funny fella. You might have met him at the wedding a few weeks back.
So you set your buddy up with one of your wife's friends?
Well, no, they happen to, my old lady is friends with his old lady, so it works out. But in spite of the fact I liked everybody there, it's just weird. You get isolated one-on-one because when the other two start talking, then you're required to talk to that other person. I don't like
silence.
That pressure. Yeah, I don't like the pressure of,
so,
well, now we have the kibitz. And you don't talk to your wife. She's out because you already talked to her enough. So now you're down to two people that you get to talk to.
Yeah, I was thinking, Dave, our social patterns sort of mimic or rival each other's quite a bit. I mean, we're exactly the same. I don't think I've ever called you in the last 5 years. You've not called me. nobody's seen each other more and never called each other less.
That's true.
I've seen Dave an average of 4 times a week for the last 5 years. I don't think I've ever picked up the phone and called him in the last 5 years.
And so Shaq and Kobe.
Sure as hell no, he's never called me. But Dave goes home on the weekends and likes to sequester himself normally. And I'm sort of that way, too. I even think about exciting events, like when something like the Oscars was coming up last night. And, of course, we'll get into that talk soon. I was in my bathrobe, and it was like 5 in the afternoon, and I thought, oh, I feel sorry for all these people that have to get dressed and have to go walk the red carpet or have to pile in the limousine. You know, that sort of thing where you and your better half are trying to get out the door, and somebody's honking, and somebody's waiting, and you're yelling. I just think... It's not a great way to go through life, but on the other hand, I looked at all these people is sort of burdened. Like, oh, you poor schlub. You got to go through the security line. Then you got to go through another security checkpoint. Then you got to wait in line. You know that feeling
Sure.
where everything just feels like work?
Yeah, but then what are you going to do a year from now when Go to Hell comes out, your star making
vehicle, action movie.
Your action movie. When that comes out, see you in hell.
Yes.
I apologize.
Thank you, Rachel.
When that comes out and is nominated, then what? Are you going to be a recluse and be the little still image that they show?
I'll be like Woody Allen. I am going to play the clarinet at the local jazz club every Oscar night as soon as I get elected.
And as soon as you learn to play clarinet.
And as soon as I learn to play clarinet.
You're going to be like Eminem, not turn up to the Oscars when your own movie is awarded.
Yeah, it's cool. Also, quick side note here. Dave, I know, has some modifications he'd like to make to the coffee cups, the ones you take with you on the road. I don't have a big beef with them. They usually work pretty good, except for one out of every... It feels like one out of every three, but it's probably more like one out of every 11 I get cannot stop bubbling over at the top and sort of spitting and bubbling. And as you're driving, you feel this, ow, what was that on my thigh? Ew. Christ, what? Oh, the thing's, oh, it's dripping. Now it does that horrible thing where it follows the contour of your arm
terrible.
As you hold it up, and it goes all the way down your arm, goes down your pit, circles your brain twice, goes out the other arm, comes out your small toe.
That's sort of
that thing where fluid will defy gravity just to follow the contour. And then it's like, so you're like sort of, oh man, this thing. So you're taking a sip, and now you're taking a sip, but it's built up on the trough around the little sippy hole. So that's filled up. So as you take a sip, it now starts to head down your chin, and it's sort of percolating and bubbling, and you're about 10 minutes into the ordeal, you think, what the F? What's going on? What's different about this cup of Joe? It's not hotter. There's nothing different about it. I filled it to the same amount. Why is it so active? What's going on with this? But yet, tomorrow morning, nothing. And you'll put together 2 weeks, nothing. And then one day they'll get in the car. Oh, what's that drip? Why? It's on now. It's going. What is that? How does that work?
Corrective measures must be taken.
Yes.
I've said this many times. Some things they continue to make progress with. Certain, you know, heart transplants and fixing of the heart. That's fine. We continue to progress into 2006. But the coffee thing. In 1982, they made that little hole on the plastic lid, that little hole thing.
Right.
And then they said, good enough. It doesn't work. Who likes drinking Joe out of that little hole?
It's not big
enough. And it should have a little cover on it so it doesn't spill out.
Right.
I don't know. I always found that the new lids, those like rays sort of for the foam on the cappuccino lids, they're better. It's like drinking from a sippy cup when you're a child.
I'm all right with that. I agree with that. It's just one out of every 13 goes south, and for some reason it's like a demon cup and it goes nuts. Yes, I agree though. I would like to talk to the world's scientists and say, look, here's what we're done with razors. We got 4 or 5 blades. The thing takes
five blades.
Five blades. It takes batteries. It vibrates. My hand's numb. And that's it. We don't need any. But we're, you know what? If my children's children's children have to use the Mach 5 that takes the 3 C-cell batteries, so be it. They'll be fine. Their shave will be the same as daddy's. Fine. But let's work on the sippy cup. Let's work on a microwave. They'll take tinfoil. Let's work on a few things. I got other stuff to focus on. They spend millions and billions of dollars on things like the three-blade razor. I wasn't bored with that.
Yeah, who complained about that? And yet, there are many complaints about the coffee thing.
Right.
Hey, you put that thing between your legs just once, the coffee, to while you're driving, and you'll make that mistake only once.
It's all over me.
And when I was living in New York, like about 20 times this happened to me. Guaranteed, if I am wearing a pair of knitted gloves and I've just bought a hot tea, I will squeeze that cup, and it will pop open, and hot fluid will pour all over my glove, and then the added time just burns the skin because it soaks into the glove, and you got to whip the glove off.
If I'm drinking tea and wearing knitted gloves, that hot fluid is not coming from another man. That's how you'll know I'm gay. All right. Also, yes, one other thing, which is airplanes. Took 6 hours to get from L.A. to New York in 1969. Now, 35 years later, 6 hours.
Yeah, what happened? The Concorde was like a 20-minute flight to London.
Exactly the same amount of flight time, except for you have to get to the airport 3 hours earlier than you used to. You used to actually drive your car into the plane. You know, when I can remember my grandparents going to Europe as a child, they would actually just drive their car onto the Pan Am flight.
And what about your Swift train from Vegas?
Oh, my bullet. Don't even get me going. Matt?
Yes?
You're calling from Vegas.
That's right.
You want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo with us?
Actually, it's not me. I don't claim to be good at Ass Kiss Rodeo. First of all, I'm a big fan. I'm listening to you on Loveline. Just want to let you know that. But actually, it's a clip I have from Family Guy, which show I know you were involved with a couple of times from, that I just thought was a real good example of how Ass Kiss Rodeo should be played. I thought maybe we could play it for you on the air. I got it queued up. You want to hear it right now?
Sure.
All right, here you go.
Morning, Mr. Griffin. Nice day.
Well, it's a little cloudy.
It's absolutely cloudy. One of the worst days I've seen in years. So, good news about the Yankees.
I hate the Yankees.
Pack of cheaters. That's what they are. I love your tie.
I hate this tie.
It's awful. It's gaudy. It's got to go.
And I hate myself.
I hate you, too. You make me sick, you fat sack of crap.
But I'm the president.
The best there is.
But you just said you hated me.
But not you, the president. The you who said you hated you. You who love, hate Yankees.
And there it is.
Wow, that is nice.
Quintessential.
That is how you play Ass Kiss Rodeo. We're coming to Vegas on coming out the 9th. Yeah.
Except that they were kissing the wrong man's ass. The only one who deserves it is one Mr. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, they were kissing animated ass, not flesh and blood ass. Flesh and blood ass. Sounds like a bad rap group, doesn't it? Flesh and blood ass.
Oh.
Or niche porn.
Niche porn, yeah. Niche porn is opening for flesh and blood ass. All right, Matt, nice job.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you. So, again, we're going to do a live Ask Kiss Rodeo out in Las Vegas when we're coming there. Brusca, where's my card with all my Vegas information? I know we're going to be at the Palms, right? Ghost Bar?
With the Ghost Bar, 3 to 7 on Thursday, this Thursday.
3 to 7.
So if you're in Vegas,
puddle
come
of
on
mud,
down.
Lit.
Yeah.
Not
thank
lit, but puddle
you.
Of mud. Uh-oh. Puddle of mud will be there.
What happened to lit?
And, yeah, it's a great show. A lot of fun. And so come down. And,
well done, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. You remind me of Ludacris last night when he was being interviewed after the Oscars. And they were like saying, man, Ludacris, you know, of course, the poor blonde 50-year-old white chick has to try to hip it up with Ludacris. Ludacris, you were great out there, you know. When you walked out on stage last night, you could have heard a pin drop. Silence. You had them in the palm of your hands. And Ludacris was like, this at the post interview. He's like, yeah, you know, I'll tell you because why. Because when I go out and when I start talking, then people, I command that people listen good. It was like it was the greatest example of not commanding an audience and trying to describe how you command an audience. He was looking for command an audience, and he was looking for, you know, things like spellbound and stuff like that, but he just kind of petered out. And he was aware halfway into it, ironically, that this is his example of when he opens his mouth, people listen, although he's tripping over it the entire time.
So it's going to be, but according to Brusca, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good show, and it's going to be fun.
Spearman Rhino Girls will be there.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. That's terrific. Nobody sells it like Brusca. How say you, Fish Tank?
again.
They're excited.
Playboy has given us $5,000 to give away to the winner of our first live Ask Kiss Rodeo competition. So if you're going to be in Vegas on the 9th, you want to play some live Ask Kiss Rodeo, you may walk away with $5,000. Dave Damashek, I know you're famous for your lists. These are lists. Everybody has their best actor list, and they have their top 10 list, and they have their most beautiful women list. But this this transcends all that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this seems like the most obvious award to give. Let's let it begin.
History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Well, of course, listen. We heard who the best picture was, best documentary, best song, director, actor, supporting actress, so on and so forth. But in honor of the Academy Awards, nay, all awards, I think we need to pay homage to the awards themselves.
Mm.
I shall now name the best award.
Wow, this is the award?
Right.
This is the award for the best award.
Correct.
All right.
First nominee, the Oscar.
Mm.
I think we all were reminded of its majesty just last evening.
Mm-hmm.
The Emmy.
Mm. No,
TV's equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
TV's equivalent.
Yes. Yeah, I see.
The Grammy. Named after my late grandmother.
Oh, real? I thought it was a gramophone.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about, but the Golden Globes.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, it's a controversial choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the Conn Smythe Trophy, awarded to the greatest performer in the Stanley Cup playoffs each year.
Wow.
And the winner is the Emmy.
Wow.
Well, here's why.
It's a shocker.
Here's why. I have zero chance of winning any of these awards, but if there's a .00001 chance that I'll win any of them, it's the Emmy, since I've worked on TV shows before.
Yeah.
So I want to curry favor wherever possible.
I would like, this year's award is going to the Emmy.
To the Emmy.
It would be interesting to find out who did the least for the most. I mean, there are guys out there with multiple Emmys who you've never heard of before, who made no contribution. You know, we worked on TV shows. We've worked on The Man Show. We've worked on Crank Anchors, Jimmy Kimmel Live, shows like this. We all know there's a couple of duds in the writing staff. Mm-hmm. Actually, more than a couple of duds. A writing staff job is really not like any other job. There's about half the office is dead weight. Wherever you go to work, I don't care if you're going to the construction site. I don't care if you're going to the office to write jokes, make pages. I don't care if you're working at the car rental place. We all know there's about three people that sort of carry it for the entire floor, and then the rest are just dead weight. Some would be better if they never showed up at all.
I always appreciated the hard work of those three people, too.
Me too. Me too. Share an office with two of them during the Man Show. But here's my point. You would get an Emmy just the same as the guy who did all the work when it came time to give the Emmys, just like the guy who's the backup long snapper for the football team and never plays a down gets the same Super Bowl ring that the quarterback gets.
That's exactly right.
Who is that guy? I would like to find out, and I know there's no way to do it, but who has three or four Super Bowl rings and never played a down in a Super Bowl?
Maybe Cliff Stout of the Steelers.
Yes.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Oh, he's got, yeah. Maybe there are guys out there that never played a regular down during the season either. Stout didn't play too much.
Oh, yeah, no. Third-string QB, yeah, never sniffed the field.
Who are the guys that have 4 and 5, you know, Emmys for the, I don't know, they worked as staff writer on MASH, never got an episode written?
Does the guy who, like, made the food at the, on, you know, at Crash on the set, does he get an Academy Award, I wonder? I bet you he does.
Unclear where it stops.
Well, listen, I hope someday to glom onto the right TV show and win an Emmy, just as I have with this radio show.
Me too.
Thank you.
All right. Nice job, Dave. We'll take a quick break. Pat O'Brien is going to be calling in. Next break, we have our drunken tree mascot. She was fired from her gig over at Stanford as the Stanford tree mascot. We've brought her on. We're looking for a mascot. James Lights Out Tony. This guy's impressive any way you slice it.
Fellow pugilist.
World championship belts at like 150-something pounds and at 230 pounds. Still fighting. And it's like 50-something and 2 or 3 or something like that. Anyway, we'll talk to James and much more show after this.
What does an elephant and a rhino have in common, do you say? They both weigh less than this awful mess. The man they call Big Fat Tad. Yeah, he's fat, fat, Big Fat Tad.
Yeah.
90% lard, yeah, it's really
all right,
sad.
Big Tad tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, I should say, is going to be auditioning for The Biggest Loser. So we're going to want to check that out. We're going to have the producers in and also the contestant couple that hooked up from The Biggest Loser last season. The chick is really cute. The blonde-haired chick?
Mm-hmm.
She was one of these chicks that got big and fat, but her head stayed the same size, and she was really pretty and blonde. And here's the whole thing. You know, as I was watching The Biggest Loser last year, I was like, wow, all these people are pretty good-looking people, and they always look, when they lose the weight, they always look pretty amazing. Maybe it's just in comparison. But the thing I realize is, especially with the women, but the guys too, low mileage. When you're big and fat, you're like a car that's never been driven, and all of a sudden we take you out of the garage and we hose you down and we dust you off and we put a coat of armor all on your tires and pow, you're shining like a new dime. I mean, when a woman is 40 and she's been fat her whole life and she finally loses the weight, looks pretty new, looks vintage, but in great condition. Whereas other women, they're having a good time. They're putting some mileage on themselves. They're out, they're boozing, they're smoking, they're dating. Relationships are one of those things that'll prematurely age you. They're having a bunch of relationships. They're doing things. I'll give you one major example. Fat people don't like to do stuff that involves the sun. They're not going to any volleyball parties at the beach. They're not going to Cabo for spring break. They're just sitting back in Minnesota and crying over a deep dish pizza. Meanwhile, their sun never, the skin never sees the light of day.
So their alabaster flesh remains pristine.
They're essentially, if I go back to the car analogy, they're cars that never really left the garage.
Mm-hmm.
They're not attractive cars, but they're in pristine condition. Therefore, once they lose the weight, they look pretty damn good.
Here's the dangerous game you're playing, though. If you're a heavyset person and people talk about you, because sometimes this is true of people, they say, if he or she would lose some weight, I bet you they'd be nice looking. Mm-hmm. Then once you lose that weight, then, you know,
you gotta
then
be
you blow in the gig. You know, yeah. if you do, you can disappoint a lot of people. It's like when Annie Lennox had that really short spiked hair, you know, and you thought, like, I bet she'd be really hot if she grew her hair out. And then finally she grew it out, so you're like, net.
No,
she's not that hot after all. Too
Clay.
Bad.
Yes, sir.
You have a comment on our conversation before this, which was who's gotten the most out of the least?
Yeah.
What do you
well,
got?
Well, we worked hard. I got 2 World Series rings and never played one inning of one out or any ever of Major League Baseball.
How'd you get that?
Played a lot of baseball and softball, but I was on the grounds crew.
Softball, too. You're on the grounds crew of the team that won, obviously. What team?
New York Yankees.
So the grounds crew for the Yankees gets...
You've got to be kidding me.
Yes, we do. The grounds crew got World Series rings since 98-99. Padres and the Atlanta Braves. And, yeah, we all got rings. Everybody in the front office gets rings.
But do you get the same ring that Jeter gets?
Exactly.
Exactly?
Yep.
That seems bizarre, and if I'm Jeter, I'm PO'd.
Actually, Jeter was one of the guys that really goes out and got us extra money, and, you know, after spring training, he goes around with a hat in the locker room and collects money from the players to give to the grounds crew. He's one of the few guys that comes around and thanks us.
What a mensch.
That's fantastic. Yeah. How much? Yeah. So I'm interested in that sort of thing because I read about these clubhouse guys who, you know, all get tipped out. How much did what did it come to when all the players tipped you out?
It was about $5,000 or $6,000.
Wow.
That gets divided up amongst us.
Dynamite.
And that's at the end of the what? End of the season?
Spring training. End of spring training. Yeah. And then now, from what I understand, the grounds crew gets a World Series share also to divide up amongst themselves.
What the hell is going on? And how do I become part of it?
How do I become part of the grounds crew? Now, I don't know. That was after me. That's I heard in 2000 that they gave a World Series share.
Wow, the same ring that the players get, the exact same ring, the guy, the fat guy standing there leaning on the rake the entire game and getting out of the way of the grounder that's just foul the third baseline, that guy, the guy drags the tarp, he gets the exact same ring the guy who caught the World Series does?
Yeah. Imagine how bummed out you'd be right now if you're the Kansas City Royals ground crew. We never get postseason tips. Man, I got to move to the Yankees. Trade me.
Lance?
Hey, how you doing, Ace? Got a question for you.
Good.
About cars. I heard you talking. I'm a bit of a big man, bigger than your boy Tad there. But wow. I've got a Cabriolet Porsche, and it's been in my garage for about 2 years now because it's really tight for me to drive in it.
Well, it's like 48 hours.
I did major work to it, though, before I put it in there, like 5,000 hours with the engine work and everything.
Yeah.
Now, to get back into it again, because would I need to do more than just get a brand-new battery for that thing, or would there probably be more work that had to be done to it because I've let it sit for 2 years?
No, you'd probably be all right. You might want to change the fuel, drain the fuel, and change the fuel. But it'll be all right.
But I'm kind of a big guy now, trying to lose some weight to get back into shape.
Yeah, let me explain something. You're bigger than Big Fat Tad. You're driving around in a 2-seat Porsche Cabriolet, which is the world's smallest car. It's going to be the equivalent of you walking around in a Speedo. You know what I mean? Like, you should not be driving a car that your ass is hanging out of the back of. Here, get a nice big SUV. That's what the brothers do. Black man, 400 pounds, gets a sweatsuit, gets an Escalade. He looks like a midget. Do you know what I'm saying? But if that same dude wore something tight and got into one of those 2-seater Ferraris, he'd look obese. There's the deal. Get a car that's bigger than you are. We'll take a quick break. Pat O'Brien will be checking in with us. Hopefully some Oscar talk with him after this. Yep. That's the Oscar music, and that could only mean one thing. Pat O'Brien is on the phone. Pat?
I want to get your take on this. Last night, as we're all leaving the Oscars, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the big lineup of sedans and limos and all the stars coming out, and then you have the big crowd of people standing down there on Hollywood Boulevard and Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of all this, some guy decides to streak the entire crowd. So he starts down on the other side of, just south of Hollywood. You know, you with me now?
Right.
Highland, and runs up Highland.
Mm-hmm.
With nothing on but tennis shoes, to the cheers of crowd. I'm just thinking to myself, where does this guy think he's going to go? I mean, his clothes, obviously, are south of Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not. Well, maybe he lived up in the hills, and he thought he would eventually.
Does he have an accomplice then in the hills with an extra set of clothes? Do streakers think that far ahead?
I think as a streaker, here's what you count on. Almost all security guards are males, and they're almost all straight.
Right.
And they don't want to tackle nude dudes. That's my number one policy, is never to scrap with, tackle, or grapple with a nude dude outside of a sexual setting.
Right. So you know what I'm saying? In as a streaker.
Yes.
They would go in with that knowledge, that streaker knowledge.
I think they count heavily on the fact that other dudes don't want to get a right cheek full of sack, as you guys cartwheel, into the dumpsters.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Nobody even chased him. It was funny.
And women are trained not to chase nude dudes, too. So a female security guard, when a nude dude runs by, is just going to let him keep going.
If you're a woman in chair, you just look desperate.
You're right.
Right.
Boy, someone can't get laid.
But the guy's going north on Highland with no clothes.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like there's a... I mean, before...
Was he advertising for, like, an internet company or something?
Well, by the looks of him, he didn't have much to advertise.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Dang.
Soy
hey,
bomb.
Pat, speaking of clothes, who are you wearing right now?
Right now, I'm wearing workout clothes, but last night I was wearing Armani.
Oh.
Look at Pat O'Brien out till the wee hours last night covering the Oscars and then up at the crack of dawn and on the treadmill.
I got home around 1 and I was on the mill, as I call it, about 4:30.
You see, you're one of these people that doesn't like to sleep, and I get angry when I talk to people
sleep.
Like you. Now I'm more angry. Now I'm livid.
You know, it's, I'm one of those people who it's like, I think we've talked about this, sleeping into me is like 6 a.m., if that.
I did. I woke up. I marvel at myself because I wake up each weekend morning after this show would have been off the air had we done a weekend version of it. I woke up like 10:25 yesterday and thought, wow.
Have you ever lived in a basement apartment?
Yes,
that's
I have.
The only time I could ever sleep. I lived in a basement apartment once, and boy, when you live there, you sleep.
Yeah, you really, you become like preserves.
There's something about a basement apartment.
Yeah, it's cool.
Laverne and Shirley watching the feet go by.
Yes, no sound will, I'll tell you what, it's about light and it's about sound. Nothing will penetrate the earth. And there's nothing better than that sleep.
Like being in the womb 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. Pat, so let's talk Oscars.
Let's do it.
What are your impressions? What struck you last
night?
Well,
I thought it was kind of a calm night. I mean, everything kind of went, except for at the end, everything went to form.
Right.
36 Mafia might have been a surprise.
Yeah.
For everybody. But, I mean, Clooney was my pick. I think it was deserved. Reese Witherspoon was deserved. Philip Seymour Hoffman was great. And I actually picked Crash, as you recall, so I'm almost 100% on last night. And I think that the Oscar voters just kind of said, the hell with the other award shows, we're not going with Brokeback Mountain, we'll have our own mind and give Crash its due, and I'm glad they did.
Well, yeah, everyone went...
Brokeback Mountain, by the way, but Crash was really a great movie.
I thought Jon Stewart did a great job.
I thought he did, too. It's an impossible, as you guys know, it's an impossible job. I mean, you get the job, and then you spend 4 weeks reading how bad you're going to be.
Right.
So you kind of set up walking into it. But he was smart and funny, and I think he was a little nervous walking out, but who wouldn't be?
I think I did the Billboard Awards once about 5-6 years ago, and there's just no more lose-lose situation than doing comedy and hosting one of those award shows. Obviously, this is not the Academy Awards, but even on a smaller scale. It was like at the MGM Grand Hotel, there's like 15,000 people. People kept asking me if I was nervous before I walked down on stage. Thank
Love
you.
That.
Thank you. You nervous? No. You nervous? No. You nervous? Yes. Yes, I am. Now I am. Thank you, A-hole.
When you go on David Letterman.
Yeah.
Letterman.
Right.
They spend, everybody who comes up to you says, you better be funny.
Right.
You better be funny. I said, what? You better be funny. Dave doesn't like if you're not funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Better be funny. And then the last thing that the stage manager said to me is they go, Pat O'Brien, I start to walk out. And he says, I hope you're funny.
Yeah, and it's always surreal when you do Letterman seeing actually seeing Biff Henderson, who is the guy who pushes you out on stage, because it's like, hey, that's the black dude from the bits.
Hey, you're a bigger star than I am.
Yeah. He's actually got a job. He's not just a stand-up comedian.
I know. Letterman is always a good time because there's 500 people scared S-less explaining you what not to do in front of Dave.
Absolutely.
Don't look him in the eye. Don't touch him. Don't use any blue language. Don't do, it's like there's 1,000 don't do's. It's what makes, it's how I know Letterman's an a-hole.
No, I like David.
He's a great guy, but here's how I know he's an a-hole. Everybody on his staff is scared S-less of him. Now think about that. Think about that for
maybe,
a second.
Maybe we'll call that perfection.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Pat, yeah. Now get to this. Who was the foxiest celebrity there last night?
You know who looked really great was Carmen Electra.
That's not surprising. She's a vision.
Does she, you know, they were doing an Oscar there. I was watching the George Pinocchio party wrap up thing.
Why?
And they were, I don't know why, because it was the next, it was on after the Oscars, and I just sort of floated into it. I had a couple of glasses of red wine by then, and I was just on a magic carpet made out of red wine, and I floated into it, and they're like, yeah, we got parties. All the A-listers are going to be here. George Clooney's, Charlize Theron is going to be here. Carmen Electra, and I thought, how many movies has Carmen Electra made or starred in or been in? And then I realized she's a celebrity. She gets to be that celebrity person. That's yep. what we should all aspire to. Forget about film actor, TV actor, Emmys, Oscars. Just be the Zsa Zsa Gabor of your day. And
a
you're
lot
in.
Of these, and by the way, Carmen, you know Carmen, right?
She's sure.
She's smart, great, beautiful, fun.
She is sweet, yeah.
And very sweet. But a lot of these celebrities, like what you're talking about, get paid. I'm not talking about Carmen anymore, but they get paid a lot of money just to appear at these parties. I think, you know, the Paris Hiltons of the world, they could get 50, 60, 100 grand just to show up at a party.
Really?
But it draws other people there.
Wow.
Michael, now that's what you want to be in life.
That,
yeah.
My
God.
We used to pay my buddy Ray not to show up at parties. It's different. Yeah.
We call it white collar crime, but I make a speech every now and then. We get paid handsomely.
Yeah. So
get that kind of money to just show up at a party. Come on.
Who do you speak to, Pat?
Well, I'd start with Carmen Electra.
No. You say you get paid to make a... do you make motivational speeches
college
or something?
I do a lot of emceeing, too, and a lot of but I just made a speech down at the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce.
Here's what people don't understand, and I'm not including you in this group, but I will include the aforementioned Jon Stewart in this group and many other comedians and many other celebrities. People have no idea how much money these guys make doing the corporate gigs. It's sort of the equivalent to, it's the stateside version of doing a Japanese commercial. It's like when a big, you know, Mel Gibson is going to do a commercial for Sapporo beer in Japan, and it'll never get played here. He gets $5 million for a weekend's work. The corporate money that the Jon Stewarts, that the Jay Lenos, many comedians, and guys, you wouldn't even imagine how much a guy like Carrot Top gets when he flies out to, you know, Seattle and does the gig for the airline, corporate, whatever. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Sick. They have no budgets. And, you know, a lot of these bands like the Eagles and Aerosmith, they're getting millions of dollars to show up and play in people's backyards.
How PO'd would you be as a stockholder or a shareholder if you knew your company gave Carrot Top $200,000 to come out and do 18 minutes?
Well, I love Carrot Top, but he's
you'd be angry. You'd be angry.
He's worth $1.20, right?
The other thing is, too, is they'll tell you to hurry it up. They'll pay you $200,000, and then when you get there, they'll go, look, I know we talked about you doing 40 minutes, but we're kind of crunched for time. How about we keep it under 20?
Right.
Could you imagine?
How PO would you be if you're a stockholder, and this has probably happened? Now, I know my fireworks, because I'm from the Midwest, and I know what fireworks cost. You know, I've been to places that they'll spend $200, $300, $500,000, $600,000 on a 10-minute fireworks display at the end of a party.
Yeah, I have no idea how any of that stuff works.
Burning money away.
Just get a streaker.
That's
what
right.
You'll be talking about anyway the next day.
So, Pat, overall impressions last night. It was subdued, but it seemed to me it was a clean Oscars. It went
very clean. I thought it was fun to have a guy like Jon Stewart in there to bring some political incorrectness to
the... He'll be back, you think?
To the ceremonies. I don't know. That's tough. It's tough to return. He probably
doesn't
want to.
Well, but
he's getting torched in some of the...
Really? By whom? Who would torch him? He was hysterical.
Great. I mean, I thought he was really good.
But how do you do that?
And that's, right now, I vote for him to come back.
I do, too. Well, otherwise, you're going to get Whoopi or whoever, but who's torching him?
Same thing. Can they do it? I think AP Wire said something about he's an outsider, he shouldn't be in here. Well, that's what you wanted.
He was awesome. The line about Scorsese, zero Oscars, and whatever the rappers.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a great...
3-6 Mafia, yeah. That was funny.
And Grapes of Wrath, and guess who's coming to dinner, and those problems went away right after those movies.
Yeah. No, I think the guy was great. But, you know, the thing that is amazing, and this is why it's really tough to listen to critics, is you could read 10 reviews that said he stunk up the joint. And if you never saw the Oscars last night, you'd be like, huh, I guess this ain't his calling.
That's crazy.
Well, that and the critics, that's what they do. They're a critic.
Right. That's ridiculous.
I thought he did a great job.
Long after those critics have hung up their...
Thank you.
Hey, Pat, you're an expert. Who got loose last night afterwards? You know what I mean? Too many champagnes.
I'm a pretty good observer of this now. I didn't...
Yeah.
I got to go with Adam. It was a pretty calm, quiet night.
Really? Even afterward?
By the way, a lot of people don't drink anymore.
Yeah, sad.
That's the other thing.
I know. Pat, you're leading, you're spearheading the no booze charge.
What happened though?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Trendsetter.
Hey, more booze for me. Pat O'Brien, everybody. Pat, thank you very much. We appreciate you being part of the show.
I think it's Ops Weeks. Try to do this.
Okay. The Insider, TVYahoo.com is where you go for times. I watch it every night on my local station here at 7:30 in the evening. The great Pat O'Brien will take a break, and we'll be right back to really break down the Oscars with Leo the Film Freak after this.
Hey, this is Big Ted. Coming up on today's big show, the new Adam Carolla mascot, the Drunken Tree, is coming in.
Adam Carolla.
The Ed from Vegas reviews fashion at the Academy Awards.
I can do it.
Our $5,000 Ass Kiss Rodeo Tournament continues. The winning couple from The Biggest Loser will give me some tips on how I can become the biggest loser.
Ted, in my eyes, you've always been the biggest loser.
And finally, heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony will trade some jabs with the Ace Man.
Chump.
This all coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Old Joe Jackson off of Look Sharp, or maybe I'm the Man. Early Joe Jackson. Go out and expose yourself to him. All right, Steve is on the line. We have news and sports coming up. Steve?
Hey, good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. What's up?
Hey, I'm calling with a special Oscar edition of Germany or Florida.
All right.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Germany or Florida?
You give us a bizarre story. We guess where did it emanate from, Germany or Florida, because that's where they all come from. Go ahead.
Okay. A teenager told Friday how he reenacted a scene from a Hollywood movie, forcing a schoolmate with a speech impediment to bite a stone and then bludgeoning him to death with a breeze block. According to statements, the victim, who'd been out drinking with the accused, at some point after the beating was taken to an isolated cow shed, tortured and killed. The body was then hid in a manure pit. Police say the accused confessed that he had been playing out a scene from the 1998 movie American History X, and incidentally, Edward Norton was nominated for Best Actor in 1999 for his role as Derek Vineyard in this critically acclaimed film.
Wow. So bright note. Ah,
well,
boy.
Well done, though, tying in the
nice tie-in.
The movie.
So now you say he was beaten with a breeze block.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even know what that is.
Interesting. Now, I know building. I know cinder blocks. I know concrete blocks. I know pavers. I know many kinds of building materials, but I'm not sure what a breeze block is.
That's
although,
a tip. I thought that I was ignorant because I didn't know construction, but now this makes me think it's the other.
Yeah, but on the other hand, breeze isn't German. It's not like it's called a die Jew block. Or other German words. I don't know if it, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So, let's see. Breeze block. See, that could be also one of those things that's used in Floridian building that I'm not sure of. You know what I mean? They have different names regionally for different things. I may know it as a cinder block. Interesting. It feels German. The cow shed is a little German. It's tough, but the overt violence feels very Florida. I don't know. Rachel, what do you think? Germany or Florida?
Germany.
Germany. Sheck?
Well, I agree with you about the cow shed business. That caught my ear. Do they have farms where they have cows in Florida? That doesn't seem right.
Doesn't seem right either.
And the other thing is, too, that sounds sort of German that they would that a strong-bodied person would beat up on a retarded guy. That sounds... They have a history of eliminating people.
Or it could be Damashek's dad. Yeah. Can your dad set fire to a retarded
setting
kid?
Fire, yes. Setting fire to the neighborhood retard.
Also, the American History X thing has a little Nazi overtone, you know, skinheads and all that kind of stuff. I think we're all going Germany on this one, Steve.
Well, you guys are very good. It is Neuropen, Germany.
Yes. That's right. Thank you,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Germany or Florida?
Nice job. Nice job. See, that's how you play the game. You can't think it out. Yes, the cows, that kind of stuff. All right.
Can I say this to you?
Yes.
Here's something about American History X. That's been on cable a lot lately, and I sat down and watched it. That movie has the worst thing that you can do in any movie, which is say the title of the movie in the picture itself.
Yes.
The teacher calls Ed Norton's brother, and what's his name, Ed Furlong, in, mm-hmm. and he's misbehaving in class. So he says, "You're no longer going to history class. This is now your history class, and I will teach it one-on-one." and we shall call it American History X.
Yeah.
He says it like that. That's the worst thing you can do.
You may as well just call Ed Norton's character Ed Norton. Because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It pulls you right out of it immediately.
These aren't regular wars. These are Star Wars.
I've never been able to watch that movie ever since after the first time I saw it with that foot to the face to the curb thing.
That's a bad death.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Like, Sven?
Makes me hurt.
Yeah.
You want to do a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Yeah, first off, Adam, I just want to say I think you should do it with Pat O'Brien because he obviously kisses everyone else's ass in Hollywood. It's ridiculous.
Wow, powerful
people
words.
People there were drinking like fish. You know it. I want to know about it, damn it. So you got to talk to somebody else.
Okay. Well, next time.
In the meantime, I'll kiss your ass, though.
Thank you. You're.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Sven, you're going to be in Las Vegas on the 9th when we're there, yes?
I live here, so I will be here for you.
All right. Remember, there's a $5,000 prize put up by Playboy TV for those. I got some notes for Playboy TV, by the way. Now, Playboy TV is great. I have Playboy TV. They show a lot of porn and edited porn. How about a little flashback? Or how about the Playboy, the old school Playboy channel? That's what they need. You know, they have that. The ESPN has like the old school history channel. How about some Playboy showing all that stuff from the 70s and 80s? Those roller skating parties they used to have over at James Caan with big pork chop sideburns, doing a little roller boogie circa 1978. All the chicks we grew up fantasizing to in high school. How about that?
Yay.
Yeah, I say yay too. They have it all on video. Show those old ones. How great would it be to see the girls you were looking at when you were in high school?
When
all right.
We first realized we liked women.
Thank you. Wow, Sven, into the Ask Kiss Array. All right, you ready to play?
Let's do it.
I like bowling. I think that's a good weekend sport.
I like bowling, too, because you can drink when you do it, and that's always fun with you, Adam.
Yeah, I really think it should be an Olympic sport.
It should be an Olympic sport, anything that you can drink. I mean, maybe Bodie Miller can do it, eh?
Hey, I think it pales in comparison to softball, though. That's a man's sport.
Well, hey, you show up at softball, Adam, you know there's all these chicks there waiting to see you hit a dinger, because all you do is put it out of the park.
Yeah, but I'm pretty good with the mitt, too.
Oh, you flash some leather. Derek Jeter doesn't have a chance.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I don't know. I'm getting a new calendar this year. I think maybe a swimsuit model calendar.
Well, hey, I mean, you're married, got kids on the way. I understand you got to get the swimsuit model, but if you want, I'll send you a nudie calendar, too. I mean, you deserve it. You're the best.
Nah, I don't know. That was
really?
a little abrupt. That,
hey, I'll say you, fish tank.
I don't know. Ending the sentence with "you're the best," it's just sort of... You've run out of specific stuff to say.
Listen, you're the ultimate judge, but listen, I think this guy is all right, and here's why. He did some homework. He knows that you have a wife. He knows you have kids on the way.
Right.
I mean, I really think you're too hard on this guy.
Sven?
Yeah.
You're in.
Awesome.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree.
Hang on.
Everything you do is genius.
Yeah! Let's try Amy. You know, the chicks haven't been stepping up to the Ask Kiss Rodeo. Amy?
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Are you going to come out to Vegas on the 9th?
Only if I can meet you, Adam.
All right. What? Well, the only way you're going to meet me is if you play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Bring it.
I love shoes.
Oh, shoes are fabulous. But, Adam, you need to design your own line.
Maybe something with an open toe. You know, I have beautiful cuticles.
I would love to trim them sometime. Give me a chance, buddy.
Yeah, I'm a sandal man.
Sandals are fabulous, especially the flat ones, so you can run from the police if you need to.
Oh, wait a minute. What, I have trouble with Johnny Law all of a sudden? Why am I a fugitive?
No, I'm just saying you're such a star, you probably have to run from the paparazzi, too.
Paparazzi, too? Okay. Well, let's try a second round. Running from the cops. I don't know if I like the way that sounds. Running from the paparazzi. That's different. Let's try again.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! I enjoyed the many years I worked with Dr. Drew. I think he's the world's best co-host.
You know, Adam, doctors are fabulous. I get to work with them daily. But I think, you know what? You should give med school a try because you're a genius.
Hmm. Jimmy Kimmel didn't really address the co-host part of it, but Jimmy Kimmel would by far be my favorite co-host.
Jimmy's a nice guy. He's good looking, too.
Let's exact 180 degrees from the direction you should have gone in.
Right. What a thrill.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm dyslexic.
What a thrill.
You got to give the handicap a try.
What a thrill. I married one. Would it be a, the thrill for Jimmy to be working next to me and that kind of a Jimmy's good looking. Amy, that's tough. But I'll tell you, we do need some women on the panel. I don't know.
She's got to get better. Why don't you call back tomorrow and give it another whirl?
Amy, could you call back tomorrow?
Oh, I'll try. Start. I'll be at work, but I can probably sneak away for a minute.
Sneak away and bone up.
Okay.
Spend right. this next 24 hours devoting yourself to the sport.
Yeah. Yeah, really get in the eye of the Ask Kiss Tiger. All right. Now, it is time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and the news.
Well, I'm going to try and get through the news. Newsy news. There's the final jury selection for the death penalty trial of Zacharias Moussaoui begins today. He's the only guy in the U.S. to be charged in connection with the September 11th attacks. Some cats in Austria have tested positive for bird flu. AT&T is buying Bell South for $67 billion.
Yes, I have no idea how any of that stuff works. But I know we'll see a lot of commercials.
Yeah. One of the chicks in the Scott Stapp / Kid Rock sex tape is suing Scott because she agrees with Kid Rock and saying that it was Scott Stapp who leaked the tape, and now she's looking for unspecified damages, et cetera, et cetera.
They knew it was being videotaped, did they not, or did they hide the video camera?
Yeah, she says she knew that it was being videotaped, her doing things to Scott, but she thought that it was going to remain in his private collection.
I think from this point on, I think it's, first off, I don't think there's anything that could happen without videotape of it. No. I mean, there was videotape of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center.
Well,
you've seen it a million times. You don't think about it. It's not like we have a bunch of cameras fixed at the top of the World Trade Center at 8:45 in the morning. There was videotape of, and good videotape of the very first plane hitting. So there's nothing that can happen. And I just think sex is going to be like, you know, when you go to the amusement park and you get off the roller coaster and they say, hey, do you want a picture of you going down the thing or not? And you're like, how much? $20. All right, give me one. The kids will enjoy it. I think after every sexual episode, that'll be it. There'll be a guy standing by the bedroom door. Would you like a tape?
I can't prove that my vagina exists because nobody's ever videotaped it.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I don't even know.
Well, first, let me say two things. Yes, it does. Otherwise, the birds wouldn't be able to sleep at night. And secondly, the morning is young. That's what I want to say. Those are the two. Those, yes, I agree. Does there need to be a videotape? And it makes you really realize, I have a daughter coming in a few months. Is there any way she's going to go through her life without being videotaped having sex at some point?
Does that freak you out?
I realize there's certain things that we're just not going to be able to escape anymore. I mean, it's almost as sure as your kid will be driving a car, your kid will have an iPod, whatever the modern whatevers are of today. I mean, how could you keep your kid from seeing depictions back to 9/11? How could you keep them from seeing depictions of those planes hitting those towers? No matter how young, no matter how, vulnerable they were, they're going to see that. I mean, that's just what we're in. You're just going to see everything. You're going to experience everything. Yes, there's no doubt that when my daughter turns 18, I'll be able to go on the internet, push her name into it, and have 30 pictures.
I think the best you can hope for with your daughter is that you don't know that the guy she's with isn't one of your buddies. I think that's what you should be shooting for.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's Bruska.
You should just give her a videotape. Give her a video camera for her 16th birthday. Be like, look, just go out. Oh. Do it now.
No.
Get it over with. I'll know it's out there.
No, you know what I'll do? I'll do the equivalent of when the dad or the mom doesn't want the kid to booze or doesn't want the kid to smoke. So I'm going to sit down, blow smoke in their face until they vomit. Come on, son. I'm going to do that with my son. We're going to open a bottle of Jack. You want a drink? You think you're a big man? All right, I'll show you how to drink, and we'll just do shots until the kid heaves. I'll do the video sex equivalent with the daughter. Don't ask me for the details.
Okay. So you're actually having a boy and a girl, you know that?
Boy and a girl.
Oh, that's yes. So awesome.
Yes. The other thing I'm going to do with my son. Now, people think I'm kidding about this, but I've realized that every guy I know thinks his dad has a huge honker. They're all like, oh, my dad.
Honker?
Oh, honker. Yeah. Okay. Big dork. Hung like a woolly mammoth. My dad hung. And then they're disappointed. Look all I got. This is all I got. My dad's huge. And then whenever you talk to them, you're like, well, how do you know your dad's huge downstairs? And they're like, when I was six, I came down the hall that leads into the master bathroom. My dad was coming out of the bathroom at the time. He thought I was at school. He was drying his hair, and there it was. Pow. I mean, almost hit me in the eye. Almost got a torn retina. And I thought to myself, well, when your penis height, you know, when you're 2.5 feet tall and the dad comes out, especially compared to what you have downstairs at age 5 or 6 as a male, dad is mammoth. And I realized the key to victory is, let your kids see it once and never show it to him again. It'll be seared into his brain.
Yeah, no, I remember being a child, I don't know how young I was, like 8 or something, and walking in on my dad in the bathroom. It's scarred in my brain right now. I don't even want to think about it because it's gross.
And you think your dad is huge when your dad's probably average, but you think he's huge because it was the size of your forearm because you were 3 feet tall. Here, but I'm going to take it a step
further.
You
ever see your dad's?
Yeah, and I think he's big too. But it's because I was 5 years old. I'm going to chub up just a little bit. Now, I'm not going to get an erection. I'm no sicko. Okay, no weirdo. But I will get some blood flowing, and I will use just a little bit, something, a little baby oil or something to reflect the light. You know what I mean? Just really, and then I'll casually. Now, again, you don't want to come flying out like naked man. Ta-da! You'll freak the kid out. It has to be casual, drying the hair. Wait till you hear the little feet, the little jammies coming down the hall, and then just innocently walk out with the thing like that. Oh, the kid, oh. And then for the rest of your life, that's it. The kid's in the 10th grade and his buddies are coming over. Hey, Mr. C, how are you doing? Because he'll tell his buddies, oh, my dad, that's huge, huge. A little high five. You see him high five as they're going down the driveway.
That's really marvelous. I like that a lot better than what my father used to do, which was periodically he would just show up at my door nude and do the King's New Clothes and dance naked for me. And that was just over Thanksgiving last year, which I thought was
weird.
No, when I was a little kid. Yeah, very strange. Very strange.
Wow. This explains things. Yeah, no wonder you're twisted sexually. All right, Rachel, just the more you know. That's all I'm saying.
Quickly, before I get to the Academy Awards, Dave, did you say you saw that Britney's pregnant?
I just saw it, yes. There's a report afoot that she's knocked up.
Well, I mean, there's been rumors about this for a while, so... Yes. Looks. I mean, I've seen a few pictures. She definitely looks it.
My plan is to perpetually keep her pregnant until she's beyond the years where she can perform anymore. That is my master plan. Every 9 months, somebody's going to have to knock her up. Even if Federline falls by the wayside. And eventually, she'll just be in her 50s and won't be able to take the stage. We all will have dodged a bullet.
Keen idea.
Thank you.
You're full of rich ideas.
I really am. Well, the more you know.
Excellent. And of course, the...
Thank you. Sure. Why not David Schwimmer instead of sitting there saying, talk to your kids or watch out for internet predators? How about my penis thing?
Right. Isn't Fluff that a yourself tip? But once, yes.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Rachel.
That's okay. The 78th Annual Academy Awards took place in L.A. last night, hosted by Jon Stewart, who we were all saying just did a fantastic job.
He did a fantastic job in a job that's almost no win and very difficult, and the crowd is tough, and he did a great job.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic. He was very funny. I liked all the little edited bits that he did. And wait, I'm not done. No, I'm not done with the news yet. I haven't even started talking. Don't brush me off. What is this? All right, please, just a couple more. Just like 30 more seconds.
She didn't even say great.
I know. I didn't get to say anything. I didn't get to even tell you who won the best picture. All right, well, I'll try doing it quickly anyway. I've got about 42 seconds. Best picture, of course, went to Crash.
Imagine being married to that chick who just got up there and filibustered and had the music swell up and they shut the mic and she was still yammering on. Imagine a nice long van ride with her dropping the kids off to school every morning and her just going like an auctioneer beaked up on a cappuccino. This poor schlub standing behind her didn't get to say a word. She was just yammering the whole time. And then they shut the mics off and she's still going. She may still be there.
We'll never know. We'll never know. There was a few choice moments in terms of speeches last night that I figured you might like to take a second listen to, Adam.
Bertolt Brecht said that art is not a mirror, but it is a hammer, which not a mirror to hold up to society, but a hammer in which to shape it.
The duty of art is to send light into the darkness of men's hearts.
And I feel so lucky to have gone on this journey with you.
Who is this art? That's all I have to say. Must be some bigwig.
He was popular last night.
Obviously kissing Art's ass, some producer.
I didn't notice
you. Look at Brasco. Look up Art, would you? I don't know his last name.
People get very, very...
I know. They're so preachy. I'm so proud. I want to thank, you know, the art, you know, the contribution. They never stopped patting themselves on the back for the impact they make. Really, how many people really saw any of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture? So how big a difference did it make?
Ozzy did.
Ozzy's the only one I know who saw all of them.
But some great stuff. Best Director went to Ang Lee for Brokeback Mountain. Philip Seymour Hoffman won Best Actor. Reese Witherspoon, of course, Best Actress. Clooney, Best Supporting Actor. Rachel Weisz, Best Supporting Actress. And, of course, the March of the Penguins. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Oh, I loved that movie. Thought it was awesome. And, of course, this was their, this was the French filmmaker's acceptance speech.
Thank you, Jesus. Select on him for giving us a chance. The Academy, we love the Academy. You know what I'm saying? Gil Case. Everybody, man.
We love you.
Hell, I got plenty of time left. I don't know nobody else now. I want to thank everybody.
Lisa Ellis, Donnie Einer.
Yeah. Once again, our families. Ludacris, Charlie, what's up? Going down. George Clooney, my favorite man, he showed me love when I first met him.
We bring the
house. We out of here.
Yeah.
Must be from the south of France.
Best documentary movie.
It's a different culture, those people.
Yeah, I'll tell you what
you
I love.
Understand the accent with the accent, you know.
You know, white people go up there and go, I didn't have anything prepared. And then they go into, it's like the great poet once said, and then they wax on for a while. Obviously, they had things prepared. The brothers really don't have anything prepared, and that's what I like about them.
Well, conversely, the Europeans who went up there all went up there with props. They had penguins. The other people had bow ties to put on. How presumptuous is this to show up with props because we know we're going to win?
Yeah.
Creeps.
Ridiculous. Yeah, here's the thing. And then King Kong guys were all like pounding their chests. And it really, and a lot of this stuff was for technical merit. And I thought to myself, you know, my wife was like, what the hell are these guys doing? They're in their 50s, you know? And I said, look, once a nerd, always a nerd. I really realized that. I've learned that from some of the engineers here. I've really learned that.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and we'll talk more Oscars later, but that's the news for now.
It's time. For Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night. The Suns are rolling. They won it also red hot. Dallas last night. Huge win there. LA's favorite team, the Clips. They lost at home to the Grizzlies. Trailblazers lost. Golden State lost. Sacramento, they won. So did the Sonics. Kirby Puckett, Hall of Famer, Twins, greatest player of all time, Minnesota Twins, in critical condition now. He had a stroke. It's a young man. Who'd have guessed that gaining 400 pounds in the 6 months after he retired would not yield good health for him?
Well, the good news is he was 5'8", so he could carry it.
That's true. That much is true. Always that's, with a glass half full.
That's the beauty of baseball. Many baseball players are morbidly obese in their rookie season. That's the beauty of baseball. So you can only imagine what awaits them in retirement.
The big story continues to be this NFL labor negotiation. They still haven't agreed on the collective bargaining agreement. And so now they've postponed it again another 72 hours till Tuesday. Hopefully they'll figure that out. Because shame the devil if the greatest thing in the world, the NFL, is sullied by this. There's already some bad stuff going on. The Rams released Isaac Bruce.
Yeah.
One of your favorites, Ace.
Sure.
The Redskins dumped LeVar Arrington. The Seahawks let Jamie Sharper and Andre Dyson go. But one bright note is that the Seahawks signed Sean Alexander, their star running back, of course, to an 8-year, $62 million contract.
Wow.
62. The only problem is that he has to continue to take the beating. And it led me to, you know, that a running back takes in the NFL.
Sure.
It led me to think, if you could choose any sport to be a star in, to play ace, what would it be? What would your sport be?
You know what? As much as I dislike it, I'd probably say golf. You get to do it for the next 40 years. You make a ton of cash. It's a great life. You know, you're playing on these beautifully manicured courses. You know, you're not traveling. There's never an away game, really, unless you're doing the Ryder's Cup, and then you're just somewhere in Scotland or something. I mean, you get to go to the world's great. You know, you're going to Hawaii. You're going to Pebble Beach. Everyone loves you. Tons of endorsement money. All the perks of athletics and never really injuring yourself. And no difference between age 50 and age 35.
That's true. That's
I
a
never
good point.
Thought I about it, but I'm saying golf, one. And I don't even like golf.
Golf's a popular one. Rachel, I would ask you, except that you really only have WNBA. So that's the only choice you would have. Yeah, I don't think there's another professional sport.
Falconry,
for women, right?
We've decided.
That's right. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I would go
Hold
with...
on. Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
Go ahead.
Yes, of course. I would go with... I'd like to be a platoon infielder in the big leagues, baseball.
Well, yeah.
I'd like to play, you know, but I would want to sit on the bench a lot of the time, too. I'd like to play, like, only against right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, I get to hang out in the dugout and give guys
seeds.
Hot foots.
Yeah.
I would like to replace Jay Johnstone as the clown prince of baseball.
Yeah, they do the interview after the game. You hit him with the shaving
with
cream
the pie,
and the pie
right.
tin.
I'd love to be that guy. Yeah. That's my
good.
Goal.
All right.
You have to have dreams.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Leo, the film freak, is in the wings. We're going to talk to him and figure out the Oscars, go all the way through that. Also, the drunken tree mascot is waiting. This is the actual mascot from Stanford University. She was a tree, and she'd got busted for drinking at a basketball game. She was drummed out of the mascot work up at Stanford. We brought her down here. We need a mascot.
Their loss is our gain.
We'll talk to her, all that, after this.
This is James Lights Out Tony, the heavyweight champion of the world. I'm looking for Adam Carolla. I need him for a sparring partner, because he's been talking a lot of junk about me lately. So you know what? All you out there, listen to Adam Carolla.
All right. He will, James Lights Out Tony will be in here in a couple of few. Leo Quinones is in here. Leo, the film freak. Leo's sick. Leo can be heard Saturday nights, 7 to 9 o'clock here on 97.1 Free FM out here in Los Angeles. I am an avid listener to the show, and I enjoy his straightforward approach to movie reviewing. Also, he did the pre-show for the Oscars last night for E! Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. I'm glad that you're here. When they first threw your name out, I said, wait, I have a card that says Ask Kiss Rodeo. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? Sorry. You're confused.
Welcome.
Yeah, you went to bed what time last night, and how drunk were you?
Last thing I can recall, shotgunning a can of Budweiser.
Really?
At the Roosevelt Hotel. Somewhere between 2 and 3 a.m.
Nice.
Yeah, I rapped with E at 3 o'clock. So that's when I hit the booze.
3 a.m. you guys wrapped up.
No, I wrapped up at 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
I was on E from 9 a.m.
Oh, and then started drinking
and
until 3 a.m.
So I had about 12 hours of drinking in me.
What?
Smell me from here.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got you. What was? I like a guy who's 40 who still shotguns a beer, by the way.
41?
Who still shotguns a beer.
Well, it got elemental. I mean, they said, hey, this is let's shake up the party. And this big guy, I said, let's go. And I threw down, and I think I did three.
Yeah. Did you see any celebrities at the post-party, the rap parties?
Yeah, you know, Ludacris, I saw him around, and he did the Ryan Seacrest thing before, and he was just a cool guy, and he was just golden ticket. Anywhere he can walk in, you know, there's a lockdown now in these parties. You have to have an ID, and you have to, your plus one has to already be confirmed. It's really, really tough to get into these parties now.
What were your impressions of the Oscars? What were your thoughts about
Well,
that?
It's always Black Sunday for me. I'm going to speak freely because on E, I can't speak freely.
Speak freely.
My movies never get nominated. if it were me, you know, I've seen Batman Begins 10 times, and it just
got so good.
It got a big kick in the nuts, and so I was wearing a tie pin, a Batman tie pin, kind of like my F you to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's my movie. So,
yeah.
And I think if you want to go right into Best Picture, I think I knew why Brokeback didn't win. It won all the other awards.
Yes.
And by the way, I did see it twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I saw it once, and I'm like, okay. And then everyone's buzzing about it. It's winning these awards. I'm like, okay, I'm an idiot. Let me go back and revisit this movie.
Right.
And if it was just a cowboy and a cowgirl,
mm-hmm.
it would be the slowest movie ever put up on the screen. Am I right?
It's an interesting point. I didn't see it, but I didn't see any of the nominated films. I'm keeping it real. The point is people said, yeah, it's, you know, every time I bring it up, people go, it was a nice little film. It didn't move along too fast, but it was a nice film. But it's true. If it was a heterosexual love story, it would be much ado about nothing. No one would be talking about it. Just be a quiet little nice film.
Absolutely. And then I read online, kind of a disturbing thing, the stodgy voting academy with the ages of 55, 65, right. 75 and higher, that I can't substantiate this in an isolated incident, but like they're saying, I'm not voting for that movie. Kind of like a homophobia thing.
Oh, really?
Pulled votes away from Brokeback and then Crash slipped right in. That's... Mm-hmm. Wow, that's how I actually predicted it.
So you're saying they pulled out a Brokeback and then Crash slid right into the back door.
With force.
Interesting.
With force.
Wow, and aggression.
It was a pummeling effect.
Oh, come on. We got beat. Did we get beeped for that?
Yeah, we got a new dump guy.
Come on, you pussies. Jesus Christ.
Is that Bill Mahoney?
You can't dump that, today. You jackass.
Nice to see you, Bill.
Well, the other thing about Brokeback is, as I've mentioned before, is it's a little on the nose, too, naming Heath Ledger's character Ennis, which is the perfect name if you want to have a gay child. If your goal is to raise a gay boy, name him Ennis, because you really, all you need to do is change the E to an A at the beginning, and you get that.
It's penis and anus.
You know what? No one's talking about the real performance of that movie.
Which was?
Anne Hathaway topless.
Really?
Does anyone recount that great scene in the back of the car?
Hubba hubba.
Rachel?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
No. Hot. Hotter than hot. She was on Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh,
all right.
Hold on.
So, you
are shotgunning
of a
beer.
But you're all right.
You pick that up?
I'm the phlegm freak right now.
You're all right with Crash. You're all right with that?
Crash was a brilliant film, but it's not like the kind of movie where you say, hey, everyone, come on over. I'm going to have some margaritas and we're going to watch Crash. It's a little too disturbing for me, but it was a great performance.
What are some of your favorite films of all time besides the Batman?
If I'm going number one,
mm-hmm.
and by the way, I wore my Inigo Montoya shirt on Friday for you, but
thank
I didn't see you.
Princess
Bride is one of my favorites. Does that make me... What do you guys think about a guy like in The Princess Bride?
That's a great film.
Okay,
it's not, you know, it's not Goodfellas, but it's great. It's fun. It does what a film is supposed to do. Here's the whole thing: you don't have to, you know, every good film doesn't have to make you think. Some can just be very entertaining for 90 or so minutes, and you can walk out of the theater in a better mood than you walked in.
Joe Dirt.
Oh, really?
Loved Joe Dirt.
Well, now you're going to have to leave.
We were saying last week that there should be a Guilty Pleasures award at the Oscars as well.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they have all those. I know they would never give a tip of the hat to the Guilty Pleasures, but it seems like, somewhere in about the two hours and 10 minutes in, when they were giving out one for best animated short.
Yeah, that was a useless category.
And I said to my wife, look, you could go upstairs onto our Macintosh right now and craft something out that might win next year. Really? We're at the critical moment of this show, and this is what we're giving. It took 8 minutes, and the guy did it with flip cards.
It's remarkable. I made the exact same point. It's the equivalent of the luge. You know, getting an Academy Award for Best Short Animated Picture is winning an Olympic medal for the luge. It's like, wow, he made the Olympics and he won a medal. Like, yeah, there's seven people on the face of the earth that luge. You don't have a lot of competition.
Here's the thing.
Go do it today and win Academy Awards.
I could go down to Santa Monica, find a transvestite that was passed out, duct tape her to one of these tapes, and kick her down the slide. She'd probably silver. That's all you need to know. And the same with the short. Yes, it's an Academy Award. It's for the greatest films. It's Dr. Zhivago and On the Waterfront. It's not 9 minutes when you're high in your mom's basement on the Mac. That's all. Sorry.
And I saw the limo with the penguin head sticking out.
Oh, no.
And there was these guys going, they made it easy for everyone on the red carpet. Oh, these are the March of the Penguin guys. They have to be. These guys have to be the March of the Penguin guys.
Well, because nobody knows who they... Yeah, you wouldn't know.
So it was actually kind of smart in that respect. But they're coming out with an extended version of March of the Penguins. Like, if like 4 hours of that wasn't enough.
That was a beautiful film.
Right.
I was watching Animal Planet for 2 hours, don't you think?
No, I thought it was great.
Well, it was a documentary. I mean, what do you... And by the way, just get in a penguin outfit next time. Don't carry the big stuffed penguins in, you nerds from France. All right, so you are all right with Crash winning, but you would have liked to see Brokeback Mountain win, Leo?
No. I do think Crash is the best film of these five. And
right. You wanted Batman Returns.
Yeah, Batman Begins. You're absolutely right.
Can I just ask, okay, why did you see Brokeback Mountain a second time?
This was you watch it once as a critic. Then the next time you watch it as a man.
No, it's Jake Gyllenhaal's his eyebrows. Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh. No.
Seductress.
I noticed the second time around the glances were a little bit longer at each other from the outset. Uh-huh. And, I just wanted to... Because maybe I'm thinking I'm stupid. Why is everyone coveting this film so? And I'm like, I better see it again just so I can... You know, I even saw that Transamerica, and by the way, wow.
Wow what?
The plot line is absolutely... Anyone in the room see... Anyone listening see Transamerica?
No. Nobody's seen it.
It starts with Felicity Huffman as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes that he fathered a son, goes to New York, son's in jail as a male hustler.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so she's a woman driving the kid home, and then they start getting together, but their father's son. It's really the most out there film. Yeah.
And was it good?
I don't know. My legs were crossed the whole time, and my body language was awful. I was like, please, just let's get this over with.
That'd be quite a double feature that broke back into the Transamerica.
Yeah. I mean, the gay films were the big theme this year. Truman Capote as well.
But can I put this out there? We got to take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back
with
more.
Let's go.
More talk. But let me put it out there. You know, people always do this where they go, broke back. I saw it. What was the big deal? I mean, it was fine, but I don't know what everyone's talking about. And then a few years ago, I remember it was My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Everyone's buzzing about this. Ugh. And then you see it on cable a year later, and you're like, well, it's a nice little low budget, whatever. You know, and you think to yourself, man, this thing made $200 million, and who cares? Well, you realize the way society is structured, each year there needs to be one of those. Every year or two, there needs to be a, why does somebody win the lottery? You know what I mean? I mean, why My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Well, if it wasn't for that, it'd be another movie that was equally as mundane, and we just saw it and made a big deal out of it. You know, each year, it's almost like a lottery, and I feel like Brokeback may have won it this year, and a few years ago it was that. But there's always that film that that's no better than any other film. For some reason, it's on top. And I believe this is why people love sports so much, because that can't happen in sports. Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. There can't be some 6 foot point guard who, for some reason, is the greatest player in NBA history. It doesn't work that way. You have to put up the numbers. Ultimately, in sports, you have to put up the numbers, whereas there's no difference between Brokeback and 10 other movies that were just as good this year, maybe 20. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Leo the Film Freak to do a little more Oscar wrap-up. Yes, when I'm play the music. All right, after this.
Hey, it's Big Tad, and coming up on the Adam Carolla Show, our new mascot, the Drunken Tree from Stanford.
Adam Carolla.
The Ed tells us the fashion winners and losers at last night's Oscars.
I can't wait.
The love couple from The Biggest Loser will help me get ready for my audition tomorrow for The Biggest Loser.
Do you really need the help, Tad? I think devoting 30 years of your life to the cause is more than enough.
And finally, a big winner, heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony is headed your way.
Seriously.
Coming up on The Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Leo Quinones here, Film Freak.
Yeah.
Saturday night, 7 to 9, 97.1 Free FM. also did the pre-Oscar show for E! And here to wrap up a little more Oscar talk with him. The death montage. I always get very, I'll tell you, it always works on me. They start playing that music, mm-hmm. the music swells, and they show the actors, half of whom you've never seen before, and it just hits me. It just grips me every time. But the thing last night I noticed is no Don Knotts. And the guy's done, 25 films, maybe more.
What a great point.
Where was Don Knotts?
We did see a production designer from a black and white film era.
Right.
How did this, nothing, no disrespects to this dead guy, but he was like best boy on a Yul Brynner movie. And
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they show a guy who literally was there before film was invented, mm-hmm. ironically. They just showed him with a charcoal stick drawing on the ground. And it's like, yeah, this guy lived 180 and he died last year or this year. And no Don Knotts.
Yeah.
Where at? What happened to the incredible Mr. Lincoln?
Chris Penn got a double shot.
Yes, he did.
Don Knotts snubbed.
We got the Oscar snubbed. We got the thin Chris Penn and the fat Chris Penn. I think you get the double shot if you put on 110 pounds.
They got him in a good shot. It was a profile, good lamb chop sideburn. Yeah.
No, I like Chris Penn, and I thought he was a good actor, and he did some pretty cool films. Reservoir Dogs, one of the better films of the last 10 years.
That could be the most uncomfortable scene of any movie, when Mr. Blonde takes the cop's ear off, and you don't really see it with the straight razor. Whenever you see a straight edge razor on cinema, mm-hmm. something bad's going to happen. Think of Kevin Costner, No Way Out, in the hallway. You're gonna go,
now, I've learned that's why I won't keep one around the house. You can do anything but shave, evidently, with a straight edge. It's all the threatening, some shredding, some slashing goes on.
He's like, shut up! Cutting his ear off.
Reservoir Dogs was a great movie that a lot of people, I don't know. I know everyone's seen Pulp Fiction, but I wonder if half of them who've seen Pulp Fiction have seen Reservoir Dogs. That is, it's hard film to watch at times, but it's funny at times, too.
How's my body language about this knife scene? I'm, like, so constricted right now. It's just, whenever you see a straight-edge razor, how about the beginning of Untouchables, when Capone's getting the shave? Mm-hmm. Remember, that's the overhead shot. It's coming down, and all of a sudden, he nicks him, and all of a sudden, De Niro grabs his cheek. He goes, it's all right. Keep going. These straight-edge razors are trouble in movies.
I'll tell you, though, one, it is my goal in life to go to a barber, have the hot towels piled high like a dog BM on my head, swirl with just a cigar hanging out, and then having a guy shave me, get the belt out, get the hot lather machine. Oh,
that's a dream of mine. I just want that to happen in real life for me. What a thing to get a straight razor shave.
You guys should all do it live on the air at the same time.
Have you ever had one?
No, I'm afraid the guy would slip and there goes my jugular.
Yeah, I've seen too many movies to know this is a hit put on by the mob.
Or he just holds it. He just holds it tenuously to your thing. Like, you're going to play it my way or you're dead.
We're in L.A., man. It's an earthquake, man. A little tremor and you're out.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that halfway into Leo's straight razor shave, he would grab the guy's hand, hearing action movie music only in his own head, and wrestle him to the ground and beat the crap out of the old guy from Italy. All right, so final thoughts on last night's Oscars, Leo.
Well, I think if you've seen all five of those movies, you're considered a definite movie snob.
Yeah.
And I believe Walk the Line got completely screwed. I mean, a movie like that makes $120 million.
Right.
That's the only one I saw.
Did get Best Actress, but the movie itself, writing or directing or feature.
We're talking about Walk the Line here?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it just... I didn't know anything about Johnny Cash. I've said this before. The only thing I knew about Johnny Cash was watching people in karaoke at Dimples in Burbank singing Ring of Fire. That mm-hmm. was my only Johnny Cash experience. Now I feel like I knew a lot more about the guy. And I don't even know if you know what Joaquin Phoenix did to prepare for this role. He got the script in 2001. And James Mangold, the director, says, buy a guitar tomorrow if you want to do this movie. And he did. So the guy's been playing guitar for 4 years. And he just rehearsed for 8, 10, 12 hours a day in a rented, place in Memphis. And they just banged it out. And I just think that's a well-rounded performance.
And he sung all the songs.
Yeah.
And yes. Meanwhile, they did this super blowhardy thing when Philip Seymour Hoffman, one for Truman Capote. They did that thing where he stayed in character even days they weren't shooting. And on the set, how obnoxious would that be? You're just over at the craft service with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Philip, you catch any of the final four? And he's doing Capote.
Don't talk to me right now.
Oh, please.
I would submit.
It's called acting, everybody.
Right, I would submit
that's what they
that
call
the way
it
to
acting.
Do it is, that's not praiseworthy. If you become the character, then
acting.
Who cares? The thing should be, you should be off doing shots or whatever and say, like, action, like, and then suddenly become the
right.
Faye,
well, you know,
the Faye intellectual.
Back
yes.
when Sean Penn had a sense of humor, literally when he was doing Fast Times at Ridgemont High, he would have his mom and dad, he was living with them, when the phone rang, they would have to say, hey, Jeff, you have a phone call during the entire filming of the movie.
To call him Spicoli.
Yeah, you know exactly.
What? If I was doing a movie where I got to do something like that, I would do that just to screw with everybody. Like...
But I do agree, which is that's why it's called acting. Because mm-hmm. Truman Capote doesn't get an Academy Award. He was Truman Capote. You don't get to be him the entire time. You should turn it on and turn it off. It's like, look, if you told me my dog died, I would start crying. But if you put a camera on me and told me to make believe your dog died, I couldn't start crying. Why? Because I can't act. That's why they call it acting. You flip a switch and it's on. Thank you. Leo, I want to thank you for coming by.
Great times, Adam.
I know you're
thank
hungover.
You. No, thank you.
Leo Quinones, everybody, the film freak. He's Saturday nights here on the Mother Station, Free FM 97.1, 7 to 9 p.m. Also, you can go to leoquinones.com for more information. And we have a drunken tree mascot girl here. Also, the Ed's going to be calling in from Vegas, and we have the biggest winners and the losers, or I should say biggest losers couple coming in, and they're going to give Big Ed a few pointers because he is going to be trying out for the TV show tomorrow. So we'll do that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Well, we should. All right, so we're going to have James Lights Out Tony, heavyweight champ, in here a little bit later, and the Ed is going to check in from
Vegas. Oh, you know what
Vegas.
Else we need? We need more calls on Ask Kiss Rodeo, too.
Yes, we do, because we're playing live, and we're playing for $5,000 in Vegas on the 9th, coming up. Is that this Thursday, right?
Correct.
Also, $5,000 from Playboy TV, I might add. Now, here's an interesting story. Damashek read on the sports wire that the mascot from Stanford was drummed out of the mascot ranks for being drunk and in the tree outfit.
Right,
yes?
They were playing. Yeah, they were playing a ball game, and you know the Stanford Cardinal. You know they used to be the Stanford Indians, and then they changed it to be politically correct. It wasn't nice to be called the Indians, I guess, or whatever. So they changed their
originally the drunken scalpers back in the turn of the century, and then that changed to Indians, and then they just went to a color.
To just the color Cardinal,
not the Cardinal the bird, not Cardinal Mahoney, but just Cardinal the color.
Yeah, and as if that's not muddied enough, then as their mascot for the Cardinal, since it's just a color, then they developed a tree as a mascot, a tree that dances about.
Only
you know?
The pussies up north could come up with this, by
it's
the way.
It's a very strange thing.
It so would they never fly in Nebraska.
Right, so at the football and at the hoops games, they have this tree that dances around. Now, this girl, Aaron, she's in the costume. She's a student up there.
Yeah.
She gets caught at a hoops game taking a couple of nips.
Mm-hmm.
She's drunk during the game.
Right.
And so they tested her blood alcohol level over the legal limit, so they canned her.
Yeah.
No more. She's not allowed to do it anymore. I said, listen, we need a mascot. We brought her down here, and she's I don't know if I'd call her lovely, but I mean, she's spirited.
Yeah, she certainly is. Aaron, thanks for coming on this show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, we know you got a problem with booze, but our problem is we have no mascot, so we're willing to take you on.
Well, you know, it's a fair trade, and I'm still drunk from last night.
You did a little Oscar party?
Yeah, I went to all the Oscar parties in Reseda.
Oh,
you're in Reseda.
Yeah, well, my friend Connie, her boyfriend's Mexican, and that's fine. I love Mexican people. They're great. I love their food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good, except for guacamole. It gives me diarrhea. And so, like, we were out there for a while. But, I mean, I did, earlier in the night, I went out and I tried to get in one of the parties because I thought I knew one of the valet guys. So mm-hmm. I tried to give them a quick little hand job. But they always lie, and they false promises.
Right. Yeah. No way is a guy. So. Yeah. No way is one of the valets, one of the guys in the blue blazers, going to get you into one of those things. But they'll take what they can get. Now, I've made that mistake a few times myself.
And I'll give what I have left.
Right. Now, I understand. That's the thing about.
I'm willing to work with them.
Our drunken tree mascot, Erin, she's sort of liberal sexually, I believe. I don't want to call you fat, but you're a heavy set woman and you tend to drink a lot. I think that's a combination that just translates.
It's like I
say,
great spirit.
A good spirit, yeah.
Yeah, very giving. Great spirit. I mean, my boobs weigh enough, and if you want to keep them big, you got to be big.
Right. That's right. You're like an NFL lineman, except for you focusing on your rank.
Yeah.
Did you meet any celebrities, or have you met any since you've been back here in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah. I hung out with the 3-6 Posse gang.
Oh,
the
really?
3-6 Mafia. They won an Oscar last night.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I felt that.
Wow.
But luckily, I've built up a tolerance to roofies, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they may have drugged you.
They may have, but I carry my own, and this is going to sound weird, maybe. I carry a sample of my own urine because I want to prove to anyone that wants to marry me that all I have is chlamydia.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that impressive, but I feel that it's useful.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I don't know. I got pummel driven just like forever.
Oh, wow. So there was romance then between you and the rappers.
Sure.
So you like the brothers or?
Yeah. I like their style. I love anything that's shiny, especially in your teeth.
Uh huh.
So yeah.
All right. So you did some pretty good boozing last night,
mm-hmm.
and you hung out with some rappers. And what's it? And you don't mind being our show mascot, do you? Because we need one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I can do it. You heard my cheer last time, and I still got that one. Adam Carolla. And I worked on a new one.
Oh, yeah, you got a new one for us?
Yeah, it's, ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, go. Ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on, I gotta get psyched up. I can do it. You can do it. Mommy loves me. No, you don't, Mommy. You can do it, baby. Here I go. 1, 2, 3, 4. You say ah, I say dumb. Adam, Adam. You say ka, I say Rolla. You say Krolla.
No, don't cry. That wasn't bad. I mean, you just, come on, listen, drunken tree mascot. You were out late last night. You were, being sexed down by some rappers. I mean, it's early. Don't be hard on yourself. No, come on.
But, I am excited to go to Vegas. It's going to be awesome. I'm the best at slots.
You're going when?
With you guys, whenever that is. And you're going Thursdays?
Yeah, we're going Thursday, but I'm not sure if you're coming with us.
Oh, me there?
Well,
I can meet you there.
Well,
I can have my friend Connie drive.
I mean, I know you're the show mascot and everything, but I just sort of feel like we have a pretty full docket. Yeah. There's a lot of celebrities on the show, a lot of business to take care of, and I just feel like we ought to just do this one without you, see how it goes, and then the next one, maybe we'll bring you along.
I mean, you're still sort of working out the cheers a little bit.
Yeah, that cheer.
Maybe this is a little.
What?
That cheer was kind of, seemed like it just kind of tailed off at the end. Maybe it wasn't as strong as it could be.
Kind of seemed like I worked on it all night.
Well, I just.
And I can bring my own docket.
Well, no, I mean.
I don't need to be on your docket. I'll bring my own docket.
Well, it's not really a matter of that. It's just we'd like to prefer. We prefer just to go this one alone, see how it goes, and then maybe on the next one we bring you along.
I don't think so, because I have to go. And if I don't go, I'm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So forget it, bucko.
Okay, all right.
Adam
all right, we need to take a break. Oh, wait a minute. Someone wants to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo on line 6. They're calling from Vegas, so hopefully they can play with us. Hang on, drunken tree mascot. Mark?
Yes.
You want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Let's do it, brother.
You're in the Vegas area.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Tom Cruise, I think the man is crazy.
He's out of his mind insane.
I think Gary Busey may be more crazy than Tom Cruise, though.
Gary Busey is the craziest man on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of holidays, that's right, I can change gears. I think Christmas is by far the best holiday.
Oh, Christmas, by far the best. The best. Totally agree.
No, sorry. Listen.
Just, you can't just repeat
yeah,
everything.
You can't just... Oh, if I wanted a parrot, I'd go find a pirate. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's gotta, like me... Yeah, if I wanted to just hear my own voice, I'd just put a trash can on my head and start talking about Christmas and hear my own echo.
First-time jitters, man.
No, I understand, Mark. I understand. You going to come out and see us?
Yeah, the Palms, right? Thursday?
Thursday. That's right. Ghost Bar, 3 to 7.
Yeah, I'd love to be there. Like
most of us will be there.
Yes, yeah. Drunken tree mascot girl won't be there.
I will be there.
No,
you will see me there, and that's how you'll know I'm there.
Well, we're gonna have security.
I can't believe you would do this to me.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I'm scared you're gonna get drunk and get out of control.
Yeah, and I don't need the competition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's just
she's so hot.
How dare you?
Look, I speak the truth.
She doesn't like skinny girls, I don't think. As a woman who's of ample carriage like yourself, I don't think you have it in for the skinny girls.
I am Aretha Franklin meets Connie, my fan. And if I had your skin, I wouldn't do that to me.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It is. I'm sorry.
Look, Pete, being my friend's not going to help you.
Pete, you want to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Hell yeah, my friend.
All right.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I'll tell you, I thought The X-Men was a great movie.
Hey, that was one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. I think, you know, anything you put your thumbs up for, I'm going to go see it 10 or 12 times.
Not as good as the Fantastic Four, though.
Absolutely not. That X-Men was a piece of trash compared to Fantastic Four.
Yeah. I like to sit home and read the newspaper on Sundays. I think that New York Times is the best newspaper printed.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than sitting back drinking some nice coffee-flavored coffee, reading the old York Times, learning what's what in the world.
Yeah. On the other hand, I don't like reading. I believe it poisons the mind.
Yeah, it absolutely warps the mind. I'm totally behind you on your philosophy of that. I think you should ironically publish a book about it and tell us about it.
Wow, about why not to read.
Yeah.
Ironic, but I like that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be sort of a sadistic treat for us all.
I like the idea of private school. I'm going to send my kids to private school one day.
Absolutely. I went to private school myself. Nothing better than wearing a uniform to school every day. No.
Yeah. On the other hand, I want them to learn the lessons of life from the street. Maybe I'll send them to public school.
Yeah, you know, I think a public school is the greatest invention. It's about the best thing the government's ever done.
Wow. All right, Pete. I'll tell you, I think you may be in. It's pretty solid.
Awesome.
The irony of publishing the book on not reading.
That was good.
That was a nice twist.
And the coffee-flavored coffee.
He did bring himself into it.
I enjoy the satire, I must say.
Yeah, he worked about the government.
About the uniforms.
Yeah, he wore uniforms.
He enjoys wearing uniforms.
Yeah. Okay, but you know what? That didn't bother me. It worked for me. That was like a great skating routine where the person tried something and hit the ice once. It's all right. Still give it a 9.4.
Hey, coming from you, that's a huge compliment.
All right, now knock it off, please.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius. Hmm.
The junk tree is going up a little bit the wrong way. She just stick with the Ace Corolla. Be like, Ace Corolla, Ace Corolla.
Nice.
Ace what?
All right.
You mitten crap pants.
Maybe why it's a good idea that he not come along.
Yeah, that's my feeling with the drunken tree mascot, which is I'm scared in Vegas, especially with the booze flowing and all the other competition from the women. You know, we're going to have the Spearmint Rhino girls over there and stuff, that you might just get a little loaded and get out of hand.
She can get surly.
Yeah, I do. Really do feel that way.
Look, I'm pleading with you. How am I supposed to get my escort career started?
All right, well, look.
I mean, there's always so much work you can get out here, and I don't have the photos yet.
Stop embarrassing yourself.
Okay, yeah, it's really getting sloppy and kind of embarrassing now.
Aaron. Okay. Look, let's just take a break.
It's sentimental. It was the first place I was ever raped.
I'm gonna okay, all right. Now it's getting sad. Now I'm gonna let you compose yourself. We're gonna have to say goodbye to you. I mean, that's fine. You're a mascot. You'll be our drunken tree mascot. The show, every morning show needs a drunken tree mascot. You'll be ours. That's fine.
Take a few days and, you know, get yourself together and we'll revisit the situation next week, let's say.
Right. Right. Just dry out a little bit. You know what I mean? Just a little green tea. Yeah, drink a little green tea. Detox.
That's not green tea.
A little? What do you have there? You're not drinking green tea?
That's my urine.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. I know you carry the sample around. My point is just sort of dry out a little and we'll revisit the whole thing next week, okay?
But you're a dynamite lady.
Yeah, you're a great lady. Any rapper would be lucky to be on you. All right, let's take a break. Thank you, drunken tree mascot. Just that's all right. Bresca, show her the door. And we'll be right back after this.
Yo, I'm Big Tad. We have plenty of show left. The Ed picks the best and worst fashions at last night's Academy Awards.
I can't wait.
And the champ is coming in. James lights out Tony. He's ready to knock you out.
Seriously.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's time to talk Biggest Loser.
You're just like all the rest of them, Adam. I can't wait to see you in a...
Who let her back in?
Bresca, drunken tree mascot, please. You're going
to
have...
I realize no one wants to touch her, but can we just...
She's mad that she's not getting to go to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Look,
you know what I'm mad about? I'm more mad about how you played mystical games with my heart.
Wow. Look,
you don't like me.
No,
and
I didn't.
You're obviously playing hard to get. And then it's like, oh, these are my boobs. And they're out. And, like, I'm not even here. And then I can't go to Vegas. You're just like Phil. You don't even know me.
All right. Bresca, please.
Bresca, please get
that
drunk.
That sounds good.
Drunken dream mascot.
Bresca.
Out of here. Just please.
Bresca.
All right, please.
Maybe we'll talk next week with
Maybe please. We'll talk.
I'm sorry. I mean, when you take on a mascot that was drummed out of her last mascot gig for being loaded, I guess you expect this to happen.
You got to say she's very enthusiastic, though.
Right. All right. Now, let's talk Biggest Loser. Big Tad is going to be trying out for the producers of The Biggest Loser tomorrow. We're going to see if we can get them on that TV show. Kimmy and Bruce Lebowski here, just married. They won in the couples edition. Bruce started off at about 270 and got down to 175. And Kimmy started out at 215, ended up at 155. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks.
You guys were recently married.
Yes.
But a couple when you did the couples version of Biggest Loser.
Engaged couple, yes.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunate for a fat guy to have the last name of Lebowski.
Yeah.
Because when the Big Lebowski comes out, worse than the AIDS Diet Chocolate Company having AIDS come out after you guys have been in business for 100 years. Yeah, that's got to be rough. But the Big Lebowski, and I got to tell you, your wife, Kimmy, beautiful.
Oh,
and
thank
seems
you.
To be, looks to be... 20 years younger than you?
I did pretty good.
You did real good.
Yeah.
Well, how did this work out? Oh, she was fat when you met her. That's how you do it. Diabolical.
The secret's out, yeah.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, Bruce, I'm sure he has a winning personality. And there's nothing wrong with him physically, but no great shakes.
No,
I mean, you were a big guy, too.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting thing, which is, a big dude can still do okay if he drives the right car and he has the right job and he has a few ducats in his wallet. You know, he can still get out there and get himself some tail. But a big chick, that's tough. I mean, you could, if there's a fat celebrity out there and she's a female, a civilian can date her. It doesn't really work that way with the fellas. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Even the heavy set celebrities still get to nail the hot chicks if they're male. If they're female, you got to go into the civilian population.
Delta Burke has to wind up with Major Dad, whatever that guy's name is. Yeah.
So the point is, how did you guys meet and how does this work? Because Kimmy, you're hot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I actually switched areas at work, and she came down to give me through the boarding process and love at first sight, and she was engaged when I met her. And we became friends and
wrestled her away.
Yes, I did.
No easy feat at 215.
Love at first sight. Can you confirm that?
Actually, it wasn't for me, unfortunately, because as he said, I was engaged, but I was actually thin when he and I first met.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I gained 80 pounds.
80?
After I met him.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. So, all right. So, let me just get this straight, Big Lebowski. How old are you?
I'm going to be 40 in May.
You're going to be 40. And like I said, not, you know, nothing wrong with you.
Looks like George Costanza's father.
I've heard that before, and I'm not real happy about that, but okay.
But a morbidly obese George Costanza, Jerry Stiller, a morbidly obese Jerry Stiller at the time, and you get a skinny Kimmy?
Yeah.
You wrestle an engaged skinny Kimmy away from her previous relationship?
It's the Lebowski charm. What can I say?
What's your spell, mister?
No, what did he do? How did he do it?
He is absolutely a hopeless romantic. I mean, he when you hear the sweeping off your feet, literally did that.
What did he do? How did it start? And again, you're engaged.
Your old fiance must feel like a real schmo.
He gave her a cheesecake.
And look at that ring.
Yes.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you what's unfair. It's unfair to men because women respond to the attention so much. They love the new attention, and that's what it's like. It's like the day you bring your car home. Oh, you can't stop staring at it. I'm going to go out and wax it again. I'm going to go out and detail again. And then 5 years into the lease, you're defecating on the passenger side. Well, I don't got time to pull over. I don't want to go to a bathroom. But honey, we're in the house. You're walking out to the car to defecate in. Leave me alone, woman. That's what I yell. That my point is this is what happens. So this guy in your relationship, he was becoming complacent. He knew he was going to marry you. He was soft. And then here comes young Bruce, big Bruce, to come in, the Big Lebowski, and start piling it on, huh?
Taking you to every all-you-can-eat barbecue buffet in town, wooing you.
He did. Absolutely.
And showing the attention that you wish your old guy could have showed you. But it's impossible because you guys been together for 7 years. He's not going to show you that kind of attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one still does. And we've been together for 4 years now.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's just because you're so much hotter than he is. He knows that if you ever dump him, it's a fast free fall. So he's going to be going with the drunken tree mascot.
I'm not stupid here. Yeah.
He is not stupid.
Did you wait? To take the weight off before you were together in the biblical sense, before you laid down together?
Wow. What?
Interesting. Yeah.
The weight was off at the beginning. The weight came on, so...
When you guys got together.
Yeah, we had already been together before the weight.
But Bruce was big at the time.
Yes, he was big.
Wow. That's what I'm saying. So you made Bruce? Time between the sheets when he was a heavy man.
So, Kimmy, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am going to be 32 in April.
All right. So you're you know, 8 or 9 years younger than Bruce is. Mm-hmm. You're at this point. This is a few years back, right?
Yes.
So you're like in your 20s, mid to late 20s. You're beautiful, and you've not put the weight on yet.
Exactly.
And here comes this big tub of goo lumbering into your cubicle, and you lay down with him. Amazing.
One for the fat guys.
Wow. Big Tad holding the fist up. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break.
With a mutton chop in it. A big turkey leg in his fisted hand.
That's his family's crest. We're going to take a break. Big Tad is going to weigh in, and we're going to go through his application here for The Biggest Loser. We'll have the producers in tomorrow and see if we can't get Big Tad on that show. And also, IBF heavyweight champ, James Lights Out Tony, one of my favorite boxers. All that after this.
From James Lights Out Tony.
Dear Mr. James Tony, I've been engaged to Zach for 3 years, but I don't know if I should marry him. My family has never approved of him, and they have put second thoughts into my mind. Zach has been in prison for the last 2 years and wants us to be married as soon as he gets out, which will be in another 3 years. When I read his letters or visit him, he scares me. Since he's been incarcerated, he's been on antipsychotic drugs and antidepressants, and he sees a therapist every month. He says things like, he'll be with me for all eternity and until death do us part. And if you ever leave me, I'll kill myself. Should I marry him? Lacking conviction in Texas.
Dear Lackey, this is a decision only you can make. Your fiancé is not the only one who has changed. You have changed too. Please bear in mind that this man wouldn't be in antisocialized or psycho medication if we didn't have serious mental problems. Life doesn't always deal us a hand that we want. We all are responsible for our own lives and our own survival. Threatening suicide to force you to stay in a relationship is a classic form of manipulation, and I wouldn't do it.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
That's right. Heavyweight champ James Lights Out Tony's going to be in studio a little bit later.
But that really highlighted why he's our relationship expert, too.
Absolutely. And that stuff was not written down. That's the amazing part, to be in studio with him, just to see him dispatch that kind of
came straight
advice.
Out of his heart.
Yeah, right from the heart. Kimmy and Bruce Lebowski are in studio. They won $50,000 for NBC's The Biggest Loser. Big Tad is going to be trying out for the producers tomorrow of The Biggest Loser. These guys, yes.
How do you try out to be a
it's a process that starts in junior high when you have your first second helping of Salisbury Steak, and it just, yeah, I don't know how
just
that works.
It's funny.
All you have to do is, whatever they say on the application, eventually, if they don't like you, just pull your shirt over your head, Tad. And you're in. Here's that. We have. Not Tad. Don't do it now.
Okay.
We have Tad's application here. I'm going through. It is fascinating. First off, favorite restaurant, Red Lobster.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't afford where you guys go, but, you know, I could afford that.
Well, let me say this. I've oftentimes wondered how this works in life. And by the way, as Jimmy's cousin Sal calls it, Red Schwarza. Because I've never seen anybody but blacks in there. Me and Jimmy went to the Red Lobster over on Wilshire out here in Beverly Hills many years ago, and it just opened the door, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was pumping in the place. And like, nothing but black people hanging out there. I don't know what happened, but it just turned into Red Schwarza at a certain point. Not a judgment, you know, just an observation.
I like to hang out with the brothers.
But let me say that, and I'm right about this, right?
Yes.
You're the only white guy in the place,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here's the thing I find interesting about Red Lobster, and there's many other restaurants that are this way. It is not cheap. No. I went in there with Jimmy. I picked up the bill. It was over $100.
Well, it's lobster.
It costs the same as a good seafood restaurant. That's the scam they're running on people.
The thing about a lot of this stuff is there's, okay, I don't want to bash Red Lobster, but what I'm saying is forget about Red Lobster. In lieu of going to any chain, what about going to the place on the corner that's owned by the Ma and Pa Italian couple and getting a much better meal? For the exact same price, oftentimes cheaper. Why go to the big chain place?
They don't have the garlic bread, though. That crazy garlic bread that you get right before you eat. Have you ever tasted a sweeter garlic bread in your life?
Yes.
Isn't he a character, Biggest Loser, people?
Can you give that up?
Have you ever heard a bigger loser than that?
Oh, I could give that up.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, I can, but, you know.
All right.
Garlic bread rocks.
Here's another part of the application. Food is... And then you fill in the blank. Tad writes, important to me, but I'm searching for the right food. You're not marrying the food, you understand? You're just eating it.
Of course, I like to eat, but right. I always eat bad. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for that right...
Right food. Sandwich to settle down and start a family with.
Yeah.
It's called vegetables, really.
I understand.
Vegetables.
Yeah, really. Here's the thing with the food. First off, here's how you know it's good for you. You don't want to eat it. I mean, it always just gets down to this, and they always talk about it. You know, coming up next, we have some diet tips, diet guru, this diet, that diet. Look, if it's vegetable, if it's uncooked and it grows and it tastes like crap, and let's put it this way. If you've been drunk and never had a wild craving for it, eat it. That's how it is. Think about being loaded. Think about being 2 a.m. You ever said, oh, man, I could go for some celery stocks?
Nope, Del Taco.
No, that's the point. Here's my diet. It's the if you've been drunk and haven't thought about it diet. Go ahead and eat that. Yes, it's the same thing. Drink plenty of water. Eat the raw foods. Eat the uncooked vegetables. Protein, not the animal fats. You know, boil things. Don't deep fry. by them and get plenty of exercise. Has it ever changed? Why is there a book on the bestseller list every goddamn week, yet it all just comes down to exercise and take in less than you're burning?
I mean, who would have thought that actually works? But yeah.
I mean, was that the trick? How did it work for you guys?
That's all you do.
It's simple.
It's all about cutting your calories, eating the right foods, drinking the water, doing the exercise, everything everyone has ever
told
you.
But you two did it. You two did it with vigorous lovemaking sessions. Yes?
Well, actually.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Before we were too big, and during the process, we were too sore from working out. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say the other way around.
Sorry.
Too sore to receive a little oral, perhaps?
Well.
Yeah, smart. The other thing I realized is it's kind of weird that we're living in this time in society, which is, you know, humans weren't supposed to deal with this because we were supposed to be chasing our prey and harvesting and toiling out in the field and all that kind of stuff. Now we're at a weird place, and I don't know if our metabolisms, and evidently they haven't caught up to us. I think when the Almighty laid out man, his whole thing was going to be like, well, first off, meals may come once every third or fourth day. It's going to be catch-as-catch-can, and then it may come in the form of some berries or some grubs or who the hell knows what these guys are putting in their mouth. We're going to have to make it go for a long time. He didn't plan on a fast food place on every corner and everything open 24 hours a day. But the other thing it strikes me is how cheap fast food is today. When I used to work at McDonald's when I was 16, the minimum wage was $1.65. And by the way, they told you to get in your uniform before you punch in. When you came in, you couldn't punch in. You had to go down the basement, get into the brown gi, burlap gi, and then go in and punch in. But $1.65 an hour, and the burgers were $1 or so. Now minimum wage is like $6-7 an hour, and the burgers are still $1.
Yeah, 99 cents. Everything costs 99 cents. And that means that Tad can eat for $37. He can fill his belly for lunch.
Right. Right.
It takes about $10 to fill up my belly, by the way.
But how are you supposed to not be fat when everything is on every corner and everything is so cheap and everyone's so stupid? That's the other component. They don't work the stupid component in. They're always talking about the fast food and the lack of exercise and the video games. People are stupid. And they don't know about nutrition, and they don't know about exercise. And they just put whatever's in front of their face in their pie hole. Tad?
Yes, sir.
You want to get on that scale and give
us
a...
Not
really. All right, but how about you give us a weigh-in anyway? And let me say this, Tad. I know keep your pants on.
Oh, I did. I thought you wanted me to do a regular...
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. Why not just weigh in this way? It'll seem like you lost more weight the next time we weigh in.
Oh,
you know what
okay.
I'm saying?
All right,
let's see what... Now, Tad, when we first weighed you were at 332.
Yes.
And you got down to 309.
Sure.
All right. Bruska, would you oversee this? I don't trust Tad. Is the scale balancing out?
Yeah.
All right, so hop on there, and let's see what Big Tad is coming to. Taking the chain on the wallet. All geniuses put a chain on their wallet. Meanwhile, there's nothing in there.
By the way, I'll continue with his application. Here's his response to the question. What was the last unusual, exciting, or spontaneous thing you instigated? Tad's response, he's now selling himself to get on the show. I never instigated anything spontaneous, unusual, or exciting.
Wow.
Well done.
Way to sell it. Tad, what are you coming in at?
323.
So, now, you are wearing your shorts and your beanie and all that kind of stuff, but you put on a good 10 pounds since the last time we weighed you in.
Oh, I've been eating.
Okay. Well, it's back on because you know you might get the world's biggest loser, right?
I know for a fact I'm going to get it.
All right. Well, it's that kind of positive attitude that has gotten you a job as a flunky on this show at age 31. All right, what are we doing? We're taking a break?
Yeah.
James Lights Out Tony's coming this way. Also, news and sports. I want to thank Bruce and Kimmy for coming in here. The Big Lebowski. Any parting words for Big?
Just be prepared to change your lifestyle and make it a permanent change.
So he's in?
Well,
we won't know until the producers come over here tomorrow. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
Hey, I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla right now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Jenny's on the phone. She's coming out to Vegas with us, or so she says. Jenny?
Yeah. Adam.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm a new listener.
Good.
And I heard you were going to be in Vegas on Thursday. I'm so interested in going.
All right.
But I was wondering, is there a guest list or anything I can get on?
Yeah, that's a fine question. I don't know if we figured that out or not right. yet. I know.
I'm trying to drag my sister up there, and I know. You know, she'd definitely go if we can get on some sort of guest list.
Yeah, you guys are coming from L.A.?
Yeah, from Westlake Village.
All right, so you're going to drive out there or
you
fly?
You got it. We're driving.
Yeah, and then what, you're going to hang in Vegas?
Oh, of course.
Make it a weekend?
Well, definitely Thursday, Friday, but you never know. Might have to roll into the Saturday and Sunday.
What do you do, Jenny?
For a living?
Yeah.
I manage a dietary supplement company.
Mm.
And so I'll be taking work off, playing hooky for sure.
Let me ask you about those supplements, because I've done the multivitamin and I've done all that stuff, the Vitapax and all that. Never notice a difference.
Oh, boy. I don't
Never.
Know what to tell you.
Never.
We have a great product for migraine headaches, if anybody out there is listening.
Only time I get a headache is when I think about how much money I've spent over the years on multiple vitamins and how they do nothing.
Right, right.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing. Just working and, you know, I'm a new listener.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, Jenny.
So, wondering, come on, Adam.
Yeah.
We're the life of the party, you know?
Yeah.
We've got to get there. Puddle of Mud also is one of my favorite bands.
Oh, really? Well, they're going to be playing.
Yeah, I never miss a Puddle of Mud show.
We're going to do some Ass Kiss Rodeo, $5,000 tournament.
Oh, boy.
Spearmint Rhino Strippers, Van Stone.
So she needs to play. I mean, she says, am I invited? No, it's like NFL team saying, hey, am I invited to the Super Bowl? No, you earn your spot.
I'm earning
the Super Bowl.
I'm playing hooky from work, and I'm driving up there, and I'm dragging my sister with me.
Right. But you
I'm
don't,
earning it.
You don't want to play Ass Kiss Rodeo. You just want to come out and be part of the
I'll
proceedings,
do some
right?
I'll ass kissing, but...
Right. You don't want to compete.
No, not really.
All right.
I'm kind of not, you know... I just want to go and,
all right,
and
Jenny.
Check you out. Check
well,
the show here, out.
Here's the thing. You should be able to come down there and just come right in.
Okay.
All right. That is as much as we've gotten so far. But I guarantee if you drive out from Los Angeles, we'll definitely get you in.
Okay.
Yes, Preska?
Tell her to hold on if she's going to come from L.A.
Hold on,
yeah,
Jenny.
And I'm bringing my sister with me.
Oh, yeah, bring your sister.
Now
which one of you is hotter?
Oh, Sue's a wild one.
She is.
Oh, I'll say Sue's the hot one.
Well, wild or hot or both?
Both.
Wow, how old is she?
My sister, I think, is 35.
All right, they'll make her.
I don't know if it's
39.
Too old for you.
No, it's fine. No, I'll do
nah.
it. All right, bring her down.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
All right,
so much,
hang
Adam.
On. Don't
okay.
go anywhere. All right, big gal.
Yes.
All right, let's. It's always ironic when somebody works for a supplement company or is a trainer or something and is 100 pounds overweight.
She clearly had a heavy voice.
It's yes. like when doctors chain smoke. I just enjoy that. All right, let's talk to Ed now. Ed is our correspondent in Vegas. He lives across the street from the Palms, has a nice apartment. And, Ed?
Hello.
What's happening, Ed?
Oh, nothing much. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Now, are you in Bloomington, Indiana right now?
I sure am.
So you normally live in Vegas, but you went to visit some family in Bloomington, right?
Yeah, I'm going back to Las Vegas tonight. I mm-hmm. leave at 6:30 on an airplane.
Oh, you'll be on an airplane.
Yep.
All right. And you are going to do some Oscar fashion review for us?
Yep. I got to ask you a question.
Hmm.
I sent you a card.
Yeah. We did get that card. The Garfield okay. the Garfield card?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hanging up in the office.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I knew it took a while to get it.
Yeah. We enjoyed it.
All right. Yeah, I was on the. I watched the Oscars because you know the Housewives. I guess that's not on no more.
The Desperate Housewives. They had to take a break this week, I think, because the Oscars were on.
That's 2 out of 3 weeks.
All right,
that's not good if you want to be a top show.
Well, you'll be back. You'll be back with them next week, I think.
Okay. Well, I watched the Oscar show, and you gave me another long show. This one was 3 hours long.
Yeah. I know.
It's a pretty long show.
I know. And, we had that problem, too, where we TiVo'd. Do you guys ever get into this? You TiVo the show, but because you're an idiot, you don't TiVo the show after the show, and it's not a tight 3 hours. It went 3 hours and 20-something minutes.
Yeah.
So what happens? With 10 minutes left, I say, honey, we got to stop it. We have to TiVo the next show behind it. We hit the button. We skip ahead to Reese Witherspoon accepting the Oscar, and my wife starts screaming, why? Why'd you? And I start screaming back, well, if you taped the show after it, we wouldn't be in this mess. And she starts screaming because all of a sudden she's the world's biggest Reese Witherspoon fan, and this ruined it all for her and all that. Fantastic. Go ahead, Ed.
Wait a minute, the host of the show was John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him on a couple of different shows, and he was a pretty funny fella.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
he
then,
is.
And then I wrote down who I thought was the best dressed and the worst dressed.
All right.
Because I got to see what everybody had on.
Mm-hmm.
And for the best dressed category of the night, Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek,
She won for that. She had on a blue dress that was really, really pretty.
Mm. And bosomy.
And, huh?
Beautiful and bosomy. Bosom.
Yeah.
Bosom, yeah.
She was. And then the best dressed man was Morgan Freeman.
Mmm. Morgan
now,
Freeman.
I don't know if you know this, but I told Brian that he used to be on a show called The Electric Company.
Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not, not work much since, but I did see him at the Oscars. Was curious why he was there.
Yeah,
you know, the thing about Morgan Freeman, now, Ed, you're a man of color yourself, yes?
Partly.
Partly? You're half black? What are you?
No. I told you my father was black.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is black and white.
I see. That's right. So you're good three-quarter.
Yeah.
The point is, Morgan Freeman does this thing where he takes his coarse, dry, salt-and-peppery, pube-like hair and combs it backwards. And it creates a weird look. It reminds me of my own look in junior high. But where you take that kind of coarse hair, it's one thing if you put a little afro-sheen in there and you work it out, you put a little color, a little body. But he just always just sort of combs it straight back, and it looks just sort of, it looks like a Brillo pad. It looks like it would take paint off a car fender. That look always bothers me. And the earring, the guy over 60 with the earring always bothers me, too. But you're just focusing on his suit, and you say that was the best.
Yeah, and then the worst dress, this lady drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't like her at all, and a lot of people think she's good-looking. She wore a white dress, which everybody wore a white dress last night.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
She is terrible-looking.
Well,
she needs to get a suntan. She lives in California. She needs to be on the beach.
Yeah, she's very pale.
She's gone from hot, which seems like about 3-4 months ago, to now being scary looking.
Crazy has finally caught up to her. That's what I say.
But her dress was beautiful.
Yeah, she got good bones and everything, but I think she's crazy, and I think it caught up to her physically when you think crazy thoughts. It's like when you think...
She got no meat on her bones.
Yeah, oh, I see, yeah. You want a little junk in the trunk, right, Ed?
Something.
Okay.
You ain't got nothing for that. And then the worst dress was Paul Giamatti.
Now, what was
he looked
wrong?
Like,
yeah.
Oh, he looked like he had on a funny face.
Yeah.
With the glasses and the beard. I didn't know if that was him or not, but then they showed him and said it was him.
Right. So Paul, worse. Nicole, worse. And then Selma, best.
And the movie that won everything, the motion picture of the year, I had never heard of it, called Crash.
Never heard of Crash. Had you seen any of the movies that were nominated?
No, but I'm glad the gay movie didn't win. I didn't like that. I didn't even want to see that.
No.
That was wrong for it to be nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have
done
that.
Sends a bad message, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Who would think that John Wayne would be kissing on another cowboy? I don't think so.
Yeah, it sends a message to the young kids that it's okay to be gay.
The movie that I wanted to win wasn't even nominated.
Which was?
A movie called Wedding Crashers.
Right. That should have been nominated, you're right.
I saw that movie twice this year.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good show.
All right, Ed.
I didn't know a lot of this stuff that was going on that show, but it was so long.
Well, okay.
And you know,
speaking of long, yes.
Can I play that rodeo game when you come to Las Vegas?
You want to play Ass Kiss Rodeo?
I heard you play it before.
All right. $5,000 you could be up for, Ed.
Well, I don't need that. I just want to play.
Oh, really? So you don't need the money?
Well, I'd take it if you give it to me, but, you know, I like, because I told Brian, I said, I want to play the games.
Phone screener Brian. Yeah, you play for the sheer sport of it.
Yeah, but I told him I could beat Dave in a sports trivia.
Wow.
But he didn't say nothing.
Wow.
I never got a reply back.
All right, we'll go head to head, the Ed.
All right, the Ed. Sports trivia, huh?
I know everything.
Okay. Well, I said that with a lot of confidence.
Everything.
Ed, thank you for that Oscar recap.
Stirring.
We appreciate it. And we'll see you in Vegas.
If, if you give me a shorter show, I could give you a better review, I bet.
I understand. We'll see you at the Palms, 3 to 7 on Thursday, all right?
What time I'll be there?
You get there at 7:30. No, why don't you get there at 2:30, Ed?
Oh, yeah, I know. I want to say hi to you. You said we were going to shake hands and all that.
We're going to do more
guys,
than that. Yeah.
I asked Brian, did you have a ride from the airport or not? Because my son had a truck.
Oh, he's got a truck. Fantastic. Yeah. Can I ride in the bed with the chickens?
I got an Escalade. One of them.
Oh, he's got an Escalade.
Yeah.
Black guy driving an Escalade. What the hell's going on?
Coming with you.
I heard of that. All right. He's got a big Escalade.
Okay. Yeah, I don't get to drive it, though.
I understand. Well, hold on. Maybe we'll have him pick us up at the airport. I'm not sure how we're getting from the airport to the hotel. All right. We have sports. We have news. What I think we'll do is play a round of Ask Us Rodeo, and then we'll come back.
You know what I'm excited about, what? Though? I hope the Ed shows up here, because I don't know if he's a real guy or not.
Oh, I believe the Ed.
You think the Ed is genuine?
We've been talking around here. Maybe this guy's just a performance artist. Maybe he's putting us on. I think he is.
But if he were a performance artist, you would think he probably would have been funnier than he just was there.
Probably. It'd be nice. All right, hold on. Jim?
Yeah?
You want to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo?
Yeah, I figure I can give this a shot.
All right.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
No better sketch comedy show if you like the laugh than Saturday Night Live.
I must agree, sir. Fantastic comedy. You, sir, are utterly correct.
Yeah, except for put next to Mad TV. Then, nothing better than Mad TV.
Well, but of course, I mean, Mad TV has far funnier skits and it's a lot less time. So in that, you are absolutely correct again.
Think, speaking of funny, Family Guy, funniest show on TV.
Seth MacFarlane, fantastic. Had him on the show, I do believe. Comic genius, much like yourself. You are right again.
Yeah, although I think it's kind of overrated and Seth is an a-hole.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's doing all the voices himself. What does he think he is, the pompous jerk? Give somebody else a job.
That's right. Nothing more fun than a strip club. We're going out to the Spearmint Rhino, I think, sometime Wednesday night.
Oh, love a strip club. Nothing better than strippers and their mentality. God, I love to conversate with them.
Only thing better is a sports club. Now that's good times.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of fat, drunken idiots pontificating about what they think they know.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, I hate sports.
Me too. It sucks. I mean, who do these people think they are? They spend all this time on a useless endeavor. It gains them a lot of money. Who do they think they are?
I hate strip clubs.
Strippers, God. I got to tell you, if I marry one more stripper, I am just...
Oh, sorry. Turn the conversation to yourself, Jim.
You never get it.
It wasn't how much strippers love me and how they shouldn't be charging me. Oh, what would have been nice is how I should charge them to give me a lap dance.
Yeah.
Such an honor to lap
dance. I unfortunately choked under the pressure.
That's all right. You had a pretty good run there.
I feel like he bored you, Adam.
I gotta say this, you know, about Jim. First off, he had a tough connection. The phone line was a little rough. And he was technically strong, but yet, you know what it was like? It's like going out on a date with somebody who's physically attractive, but there's just no sexual energy there.
Yeah. Mm. Disappointing.
Jim was, tight buns and a beautiful face, but I just didn't want to lay down with him.
I didn't put forth my best performance. I perhaps may try again.
Hold on, Jim. Don't beat yourself up.
You know what I love about Ask Us Rodeo is that every time someone goes to play it, all of a sudden they become extremely proper.
Yes.
I am very sorry, sir. I will have to become better at this the next time that I'm...
I've seen the errors in my ways. Yes. Jim.
But frankly, I wanted to play because I'm getting ready to go on a divorce. I thought it would be highly ironic for my wife to see me kiss somebody else's ass, whereas I won't do it to her.
Are you going to divorce a stripper?
Oh, no, I would never marry a stripper. I'm not that damn stupid.
All right. Well, Jim, I'm torn with Jim. I felt like he was as strong as some of the people we've had play, certainly technically. Oh. Strong.
I think you put him on the reserve. You know, it's a sort of thing like they're putting out the NBA. I mean,
he'll make the
Olympic
traveling.
Roster,
he can suit up.
Right. He'll sit there in the warm-ups, and if someone gets hurt ahead of him, maybe he can step
in. Well, it's kind of interesting. It's like the thing where it's he's got his one flaw. Like, he's technically, he's very good, mm-hmm. but his style,
yeah.
you it's know, a is certain, wanting.
Yeah, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, but missing. This ain't no charity.
No, no. No, that's $5,000 from Playboy Television we'll be giving away, so we only want the best of the best. All right, Jim, hang on. We'll see you out in Vegas. We'll see what we can work out. We'll take a break. We'll do news. We'll do sports. We'll do it after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. And do it right now. Looking around the house.
I like this song.
Hidden behind the window.
I like Better in Ezra because the guys in Better in Ezra were really cool. And there's another band called Ezra, so they got mad that they called themselves Ezra too, so they changed their name to Better Than Ezra, which I enjoy. Better than.
Cool. It's a good story.
Yeah, and they could have, you know, they could have just done, you know, they could, even with the sense of humor, they could have done, you know, Ezra 1 or 1 Ezra 1 or something, or The Ezra or something like that, but just Better Than Ezra for some reason.
All right. Well, never heard a popular song by Ezra, so in fact they were right.
Yeah. I do remember the band Ezra from, I thought they went back to like the late 70s or early 80s. Let's figure out. We can figure out. I think they may have had a sort of half a hit, but anyway. Well, Bruska, get on that. It is time now for Rachel Perry and the news.
There's lots of other stuff in the news. I'll get to the Academy Awards, though, the important stuff in a second. They've chosen the jury for Zacharias Moussaoui. He's the guy that's been charged in connection with the September 11th attacks. Zawahiri says he's calling for attacks that are going to make the West bleed for years.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. Yeah, I love all that. I just love the fact that, like, look, if you invade our nation, the streets will run red with the bloods of your the blood of your soldiers and their grandchildren. How long did the war last? Hour and a half. We blew in, kicked our ass. Now we're smoking cigars in their palaces and defecating on the crown. Oh, what about the street running red with the bloods of the... Yeah, never happened. You'll feel 1,000 swords pierce the heart. Oh, really? Is it that? Or we just send in a few Apache helicopters and mow over your whole crappy city? All right. Come on, Alice. Step it up. Let's go now.
Yeah.
Get off your butt. Let's get going now. Here's really what happened.
You and President Bush with the bring it ons.
Here's how all this stuff worked. They sit around for a while. They see us watching our TiVo, eating our fast food, enjoying our life. They see a couple of those Girls Gone Wild tapes, and they think, wow, what a life over there. And they're secretly envious. Oh, they envy it. They covet us.
Absolutely.
And then they think, well, don't worry. Allah will take care of these infidels. We're sleeping on dirt. We're facing Mecca 20 times a day, and we're praying on a bath rug. But that doesn't matter. Allah's soon going to take care of these guys with their spring breaks and their Super Bowls and their 22-inch triple chrome rims. Allah's going to make short work of these people. And Monday goes by, then it's Wednesday, then it's next week. How's Allah doing repaying the infidels? Doesn't seem to be making a move. All right, give him till the weekend. Ah, they're all going to burn. A thousand million fires in the hearts of every infidel over there. Let Allah take care of them. How's that going? Allah hasn't seen... they had the World Series, if that's what you're talking about. No. Come on. Allah's going to take care of those people. And then after a while of getting frustrated because Allah doesn't seem to be stepping up, well, let's just go blow them up ourselves.
Take it into your own hands,
yeah, that's
really
what happens, because Allah's not stepping up to the plate.
Huh.
All right. If Allah would step up to the plate, you know, they could stop the bombings.
Bleed for years.
Thank you. The more you know.
AT&T is buying Bell South for $67 billion. 50% of the kids in America are going to be obese by 2010.
Mm.
Where was your dad on the weekend, Dave Damashek?
Why do you ask?
Because somebody set a homeless man on fire in Boston.
Oh, he's put that behind him. Yes, he once, as a child, set a retarded boy in the neighborhood on fire with his brother.
It was a different time.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I was just checking.
He's set in his ways.
Apparently, Britney is pregnant. And one of the chicks that was in the Scott Stapp Kid Rock sex tape is suing Scott because she said that it was Scott Stapp who leaked the tape
two of the people.
Now, why did he do this? What's the thing? He was pleased with his genitalia and he wanted to share it with the world? Is this the...
Well, he's got an album out, so I think maybe they're saying that it's because he wanted to give his album a little push.
Well, also, if I go to any... You know, I used to work on people's houses when I was a carpenter. If I ever went to a celebrity's house or rock star's house to work on it, I would immediately comb through their video collections looking for anything unmarked. And that would be it.
Are you joking?
Bring it home. No, I didn't. I got what I thought was a winner. It was something called Head Cleaner. And I thought, this is going to be awesome. Sounds I'm going to build a weekend around this. Yeah. Turned out nothing. Just static. I'm still able to masturbate to it, but it was just static. I could only imagine what was on the other side.
Yeah, just because you're a gamer.
Yeah. Watch for a couple hours. Tell you the thing, the one thing that was weird is all the other movies I watch have that crystal clear all of a sudden. Figure that out. Yeah. It's like God was repaying me for masturbating.
Weird. Speaking of stuff you can masturbate to, the 78th Annual Academy Awards took place last night, hosted by Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
You have a good time with that one?
He did a great job.
I was very impressed. I was very impressed with the show. Usually I don't like these things. I think they're boring. But
yes.
I thought there was a lot of elements he did. I thought Jon Stewart was very funny. I loved the Steve Carell and Will Ferrell makeup bit that they did.
Yeah, simple, visual,
the
but
Ben
effective.
Stiller green screen thing.
That was
very
hilarious.
Yes.
I thought it was a little weird, the you know, they do the cutaways. You know, they always, when the rappers were performing, they have to cut away to Jamie Foxx, you know, because he's
black?
A man of color. Mm-hmm. I thought they went too far with the one when Latifah was on stage, Queen Latifah was on stage, and they cut away to Dolly Parton because she's the only other woman there with humongo boobs. Say, well, there's a connection there. They have big boobs. We must show the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved seeing Dolly last night.
Yeah, except for...
skinny legs.
Her waist is getting so skinny, it's like she's in a corset, and then there's just huge, you know, coming up to the big fake bosom, and it's starting to look bizarre.
Yeah, but speaking of the Dolly performance, though, actually, we were given a sample of why Felicity Huffman is such an interesting form of blowhard.
Mm-hmm.
She's a blowhard, and because everything she does, she's an actress, so everything she does, she feels so deeply.
Right.
You know, they show Dolly, and as soon as Dolly's done, they cut away to Felicity Huffman, who's moved, you know, just shakes her head in awe. That Dolly's got it, you know.
Right.
Oh, she's amazing. Just, I wish I was that way. I wish I was so moved by every little thing that happened.
No,
in life.
you're too troubled and pained to have anything.
I really just don't like to consider other people. I really like to focus on me.
Yeah.
Everything's good. Nothing sincere about you. It's all going to be sarcastic.
I'm with you. I just think, like, she probably heard that Dolly Parton song so many goddamn times by now that there's nobody on the planet more burnt out on it than Felicity Huffman, and yet she had to sit there and pretend like tears were welling up in her eyes. All right.
Well, speaking of beautiful moments last night, Isaac Mizrahi interviewed Ludacris on the red carpet.
Uh-oh.
You're wearing those cute little diamond earrings. Those are chic.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call them cute, but, you know, they're definitely big diamond earrings. You know,
wow, they're big.
Yeah, thank you.
Big. They're big.
Yeah. Isaac had to apologize for grabbing all the chicks' boobs at the Golden Globes or whatever it was. And that's my whole thing. If you're gay, you can just grab away, do whatever you want to a woman. She'll just stand back and let you get to third base with her. One hand's holding the microphone, other hand just grabbing a boob, and no problem whatsoever. Must be great to be gay.
Reese Witherspoon, of course, won the Best Actress Oscar for her role in Walk the Line, and this is her thanking people.
People used to ask June how she was doing, and she used to say, I'm just trying to matter. And I know what she means, you know, I'm just trying to matter and live a good life and make work that means something to somebody. And you have all made me feel that I might have accomplished that tonight. So thank you so much for this honor.
Can't she just get a zit or something? I'm just tired of her.
She seems like a sweet girl.
I know. I loved her in Election and all that, but I'm just tired of her looking so good all the time and being in a great mood and just happy to be there and having a great relationship and loving her kids and the greatest role of her life, being a mother and all that. I'm just tired of it. Can something happen to her that's bad?
Beautiful dress, though. Beautiful dress.
Yeah. I liked when the Lauren Bacall teetered out to the stage and she just dragged herself out there. And they do that thing where they put the big, beautiful picture of them in their heyday behind them. And you get to see the sort of before and after. And I just thought it would be funny if she just went out there. She looked a little rickety. by the way, Lauren, and it seemed like she'd been chain smoking for 70 years. But it just, I just pictured her standing there, and I just would have loved her to go, you know, Reese, Charlize, take a good look. This is where you're heading. This is where it's going. Enjoy. Enjoy, because this is where you'll be in 35 years, God willing. The terrorists don't get you.
And of course, the best speech, hands down, of the entire night came from the guys who won the best documentary for the movie March of the Penguins, one of my favorite films of the year. Listen to this.
Thank you, Jesus. Select on his for giving us a chance. The Academy, we love the Academy. You know what I'm saying? Gil Case. Everybody, man.
We love you.
Hell, I got plenty of time left. I don't know nobody else now. I want to thank everybody.
Mr. Ellis, Donnie Einer.
Yeah. Once again, our families. Ludacris, Johnny, what's up? Going down. George Clooney, my favorite man. He showed me love when I first met him.
Baby, Johnny, we bring the
home. We out of here.
Yeah. Look into the thing.
Those guys that made that movie are French, and I grew up in Canada, and I know a little French, but I didn't. I think it's a different.
It's nice. It's nice to have someone thank Jesus for a change at those things. I, you know, you get an ass full of it during the NBA and NFL season, but it's sorely missed from the Oscars because everyone's just a, you know, Satan embracing left wing atheist who's going to hell. So there's no Jesus thank yous. As a matter of fact, it'd be interesting to find out the thank you Jesuses from the NAACP Awards, which were held a few days earlier to the Oscars, because that was the only thank Jesus line I heard the entire show.
Well, speaking of going to hell or otherwise, I did the annual popularity contest, the death montage that they show, is always, like you mentioned earlier, it's crazy. They left out Don Knotts.
Yeah. Guy's done 30 movies. Yeah.
That's outrageous. But this thing of where they show the images of the people, the stills one by one, and then the applause swells based on their popularity.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. Now they took it too far last night with their new category.
The next category, most popular celebrity who died this year, as determined by the applause of those of you here in the Kodak Theater tonight. Christopher Penn. Anne Bancroft. The guy who directed The Sound of Music. Richard Pryor. And that guy who played the creepy teacher in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And the winner is Anne Bancroft. Anne couldn't be here tonight because, well, I think that's obvious.
I see, yeah.
That's out of line, I think.
I thought that was in poor taste, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
Our nation's Association of Professional Basketball Teams in action last night. The Suns rolling. They won at Dallas. The Clips at home. They lost to the Grizzlies. Trailblazers dumped by Houston. Sacramento wins. Sonics win. Golden State loses. NFL labor negotiations still going on. They postponed it, so I will postpone it. Because to be quite honest with you, I'm not really sure what all that means. Collective bargaining, so on and so forth. I'll read up on it, though, as details warrant. But good news for Seattle Seahawks fans. The Seahawks have signed Sean Alexander to an 8-year, $62 million contract. Wonderful. Wonderful for him. NHL, the Mighty Ducks lost last night to Columbus. A shame for Mighty Ducks fans, of course, but the Columbus Blue Jackets were really excited about it. Here's what they said right after the game.
Thank you, Jesus. Select on his for giving us a chance. The Academy, we love the Academy. You know what I'm saying? Gil Case.
Oh, wait.
Was that hockey players?
Yeah, no, those were the guys who won the...
yeah, it was the Pittsburgh Penguins.
March of the Penguins. Guys.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was that. But that's that.
Right. Oh, wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
You, are you following that baseball, that international baseball thing that they've been plugging the hell out of? Country against country.
Yeah, a little
country.
Bit, but a lot of the best players decided not to show up for it.
Yeah.
So I don't, I don't feel like if they...
And who the hell cares whether Venezuela beats Japan or we beat whoever? What they really ought to do is just go ahead and do what everyone wants them to do, which is just break it down. White guys against black guys. Let's go. Here we go now.
We all
a lot of controversy. Hey, you'd be watching. That'd be fun, right?
I would definitely tune in.
Do a football game, do a baseball game. I'm not sure about hoops. But the point is whitey against
blackie.
Break
even. We'd break even NBA and versus NHL. We would break even on that one.
Right. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's on. All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Oh, by the way, this in from Bruska. Ezra. We're talking about Better Than Ezra. It's a band. Well, you're right. Local band from England.
Local for England.
All right. Well, they're from England.
What?
Right?
Yeah, but in other words, they don't travel. They don't come here.
Stay in England. Right. That's right. 1991, they play classic rock. Anyway, six albums. Little update on the original Ezra. We'll take a quick break. James Lights Out Tony is on the way. We're not sure if he's going to make it.
Who knows?
We'll be back. I, God help him if he isn't here. That's all I got to say. God help him.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, I'm 21 and my girlfriend Jody is 19. The other day she was invited to a party at which she told me she intended to smoke marijuana. I love Jody with all my heart and want nothing bad to happen to her, so I wrote an anonymous letter to her mother explaining the situation. Because I told her mother what was going to happen, nobody was able to do what they intended at the party. Now they're all mad at me. Jody promised to call me before the party, but she didn't and went anyway. I love her more than anything, but I don't feel any love in return. I'm very shy, so I find it hard to talk to her. What can I do? Hurting in Iowa.
Dear Hurting, you've done enough. It doesn't take a crystal ball to see that your relationship with Jody is over, at least for now. Please forgive me for being a downer, but it's time to accept that the fact that you and Jody are different, are at different levels of maturity, and are heading down different paths. When if this girl matures, she may realize that the fine qualities you have to offer. But I have a feeling that by the time that happens, you'll be long gone and in the wind. Someone whose values are more similar to your own. Good luck, man. Good luck.
Free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
What a puss. He writes mom, not James, Mr. Tony, if you're listening, but writes mom an anonymous letter saying, my daughter may be smoking marijuana.
Wait, yeah. So if it was anonymous, then why is everybody pissed at him? Because...
Oh, I don't know. We'll have to ask James. James was supposed to come in here, but I guess he got up a little bit late. He's going to be fighting Haseem Rahman, coming up, the man who knocked out Lennox Lewis, by the way. So we'll get him in here on another day. I don't know where the hell he is. 69 wins, 4 losses.
Uh-oh. Is this it?
Uh-oh, middleweight champ. Now the show's over, and here comes James with his posse. Why do heavyweight champs need security? That's the thing I'm always curious about. Who's bothering you, James? As you have a lot of guys on the street coming up to you and going, hey, lights out, you want some? Why do you need the big pot? Now look, the show is ended, James.
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
Celebrating the Oscars a little bit late last night?
No, man. I live well in Calabasas, man.
All right.
Well, it's early in the morning. And for your information, all I had a bodyguard for me. I got them for other people.
I see.
And
that's smart.
He's smart.
So, you know, it's best to be safe than have lawsuits.
I understand. James, the show is over. We'll have you back, but you got to get here early.
I apologize. It's my fault. I got up late, and then the traffic killed me, so.
All right. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, but either way, you lay down some more advice stuff for us. I want to thank Kimmy and Bruce, the Big Lebowski team, for coming in here. Also, our drunk tree mascot, Jeff Richards, going to be at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles this weekend. Pat O'Brien and James Tony for coming in and sitting down. All right, James, we'll give you a good plug when you come in. Again, Haseem Rahman coming up on the 18th, HBO. We'll take a quick break, about 20 hours worth of break, and we'll see you tomorrow. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.